Blog Talk Radio.
Hello again, and welcome to the Master's Voice. I am Celestial, and you are welcome to this channel. To old and new subscribers alike, you are
Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio.
Declaring by my spirit and by my power, it shall surely come. the things that I've planned and the things that I've purposed, saith the Lord, they shall surely come to pass. And now is the time, and this is the day, and by my Spirit I'm making the way. And by my Spirit you'll begin to rejoice, and you'll begin to say, lifting your voice and declaring this new day, for I'll cause you to go forth into a new way. You'll leave this place in a new way, a new strength and a new direction, for I'll restore years and I'll restore health and I'll restore joy, for this is a day of great restoration, and I'll restore the gifts of the Spirit, and they shall increase and they shall multiply, for times of refreshing shall come from my presence, saith the Lord, and it shall fall like rain. So now I hear the sound of an abundance of rain, that it shall rain, it shall rain, and I will pour out my Spirit, saith the Lord. So receive it and declare it and say, it's not so far away, but it's here right now, today. Ha, ha, ha. Come on, give the Lord a shout. Hallelujah. Give the Lord a shout.
Thank you, Yeshua. Thank you, Jehoshua. We serve a wonderful God who is in control, my brother, my sister. Amen. Who we trust and we know he's in control. Praise you, Jesus. But we do go through testing and trial. That is all part of serving God. Amen. Amen. But we don't let that stop us, because the thing with people is when they go through tribulation, when they go through difficult time, they give up. They give up very easy. And we are never supposed to do that, my brother and sister. We are supposed to hold on to the Lord no matter what we go through, my brother and sister, because he is in control and he will always give us the victory. We need to go through testing and trial, okay? Even if it's so hard and hallelujah, and difficult, you still, hallelujah, have to trust in the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. It is so important that we keep our eyes on Jesus, my brother and sister, through everything, you know. Thank you, sister. Thank you, my brother and sister. Amen. Because he is in control, hallelujah, of our lives and everything that goes around us. Amen. I had to switch computers, so I left all my Bible study in the other computer. But amen, we're ready. We always have to be ready. Amen. So I will share why I'm not supposed to share tonight. Hallelujah. I receive a mighty revelation this week from the Lord, which I'm supposed to share tonight. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Yeshua. Thank you, Jehoshua. Hallelujah. And I so sorry any. And so this is why I tell you it's so important. Hallelujah. Because I see most of my brothers and sisters. And this revelation the Lord's given me this week, and it is exciting, hallelujah, to share, hallelujah, praise you, Yeshua, hallelujah. Isaiah 62:2, the Gentiles shall see thy righteousness, and all the king thy glory, and thou shalt be called by a new name, which the mouth of the Lord shall name. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Bless this word. Speak to our life. Hallelujah, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Minister to us and allow me to share as much as I can, Lord. Please help me to remember every day of the revelation, Lord. I will not share what I'm not supposed to, only what you will allow me to, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray. Send billions and trillions of words, angel, archangel, break the power of the evil one, Lord. We pray, Lord, that you will help me tonight, mighty Jesus, to encourage my brothers and sisters to continue to seek you, Lord, and to keep their eyes on you no matter what, Lord, in Jesus' name. Isaiah, thank you, Lord. Isaiah 60:13, the glory of the living and shall come unto thee, and the fir tree, the pine tree, the bush together, to beautify the place of my sanctuary. It will make the place of my feet glorious. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Isaiah 61:6, by you shall be named priest of the Lord. Men shall call you the minister of our God. You shall eat the riches of the Gentile, and the glory shall boast yourself. Amen. Thank you, Lord. God has mighty promise for us. Things that he's going to fulfill, as he said, my brother and sister, in his word. And so I need to remind you of his word. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. The Bible says in Revelation 19:11, and I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse. And he that sat upon him was called faithful and true and righteous. And he does judges and made war, made battle, my brother and sister. Easy word for me to say. Thank you, Lord. He's going to make battles, and we are part of it. Hallelujah. And this revelation of the Lord, my brother and sister, the whole nine was a battle. Praying over nine, I could not go to sleep because the Lord came, okay, and the Lord was in my room, and I was so happy for it. But hallelujah, I had to pray overnight, and I remember the whole night I could not go to sleep because the Lord was getting me ready for this. And thank you, Lord. The enemy did not want this to happen, but there's nothing he could do about it. But I have to be rebuking and asking the Lord to protect me, which he did. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. And about 4 or 5 in the morning, after not sleeping all night long, I finally got to get some rest. And when I closed my eyes, I was immediately in the second coming of Jesus. My brothers and sisters, hallelujah. And I notice that I'm coming down from the heavens down to the earth, and I laid on my feet. I had a sword of fire on my hand, and I had a hallelujah, thank you, Jesus, a garment made of gold, pure gold, hallelujah. All that my shield, my garment as a soldier, was all made of gold, my brother and sister. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. And when I looked to my left right there, coming down was Brother Strata. And Brother Strata was a mighty soldier for Jesus. He was no more than 20 like me, my brother and sister. And he was coming down with a firing sword on his hand. And he had the same garment, golden garment that I had. And he came down on the earth, my brother and sister. I looked at him and I said, that's my brother. Hallelujah. That's my brother Strata. That's my brother from the Lord's Tower. Thank you, Lord. And then, thank you, Jesus. I see Sister Rivera also coming down. She looked no more than 20. And she had the armor of the Lord also. And she came down also, my brother and sisters. And now part of, I also see Sister, I said, that's my Sister Rivera from the Lord's Tower from the chat room. Amen, praise you, Lord. I didn't know this, Lord. The Lord is revealing me this, and I'm amazed there, my brothers and sisters. I'm looking at my brothers and sisters from the Lord's Tower. I didn't know God had this plan. The Lord has this plan. He did spoke to me years ago about all this. Then, not further from that, I see my Sister Luna coming down. She looked no more than 20. She had a mighty armor of gold on her, my brother and sister. She had a mighty sword on her hand. I said, oh, my sister made it. She made it. Praise the Lord. I know she's been asking for prayer. It's been so difficult for her, but God is with her, and God is giving her the victory. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. And then, praise the Lord, I see my brother Miguel coming down. He breaks down through the cloud, my brother and sister. He had a mighty armor on him, all gold, hallelujah, from his neck down, mighty armor, hallelujah, and a sword of fire on his hand. He comes down to the earth, my brother and sister. Thank you, Lord. So, hallelujah. I felt so great about this mighty army of the Lord, of his second coming, my brother and sister. Thank you, Jesus. And I'm like, wow, it's my brother Miguel. Whoa, that's a mighty soldier. Hallelujah. And I'm rejoicing, my brother and sister, in all this. Hallelujah. Then I see my brother Benjamin. Hallelujah. My brother Ben, he's coming down also, and his mighty armor like us. And he was, and I knew because he started talking, my brother and sister, hallelujah, about warfare, hallelujah. Let me thank you, Lord, because I wanted to get to Matthew because it tells you very clearly the Lord coming down with his army. Hallelujah. So I had all those verses ready, but amen. The enemy is not happy about this because what I'm going to share tonight, hallelujah, it's making the enemy very nervous because this is the stuff that he doesn't want out. This is the information. Hallelujah. These are the mystery of God. Thank you, Lord. Matthew 24:30, and he shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven. And then shall all the tribe of the earth mourn. And they shall see the Son of Man coming in the cloud of heaven with power and great authority. I want to read all the verses before I mention any name. Because I know it's exciting for my brothers and sisters. Because they've been chosen by God for this. My brothers and sisters. Thank you, Lord. And it's so exciting to share this revelation tonight. That's why I tell you, wait until you hear what I have to share and why I'm having a problem with the computer when I didn't have this problem with the computer early. Praise you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Yeshua. I meant to ask everyone to pray because I knew this will be difficult. My brother and sister, but God is in control. Amen. Thank you, Lord. It's being recorded. People are going to go back and listen to it. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. So let me keep reading. Thank you, Lord. And Matthew 25:31, and when the Son of Man shall come in his glory, so all the holy angels with him, and he shall sit upon the throne of his glory. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. And it's not that he's not coming with his angel. It's that we are part of his army, my brother and sister. We've been chosen for it. And so we're coming down, my brother and sister. And there were other brothers and sisters of the Lord's hour and sisters that were coming down with the power of Jesus, with the power of God. I knew the Lord was in the cloud where all eyes can, hallelujah, as the Bible says, his glory was upon the earth. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Yeshua. My brother and sister, then I seen Sister Carla come down. She had a mighty armor, hallelujah, my brother and sister, and she comes down to the earth, my brother and sister, and to me, it was so powerful to see my sister Carla. She came down with us, my brother and sister. She's also of the army of the Lord, okay? I also, Brother Ben always talks about warfare, and Sister Rosa, okay? Some of you may not know Sister Rosa, hallelujah, but I'm sure she will hear this message too, my brother and sister. But hallelujah, the warfare, the Lord was letting me know that he's been training my brother Ben, Benjamin, for warfare. He's been doing a lot of warfare. And it's to be prepared because he's also part of the army of the Lord, my brother and sister. So each and one of us that are being prepared that has been so difficult, hallelujah, are part of the army of Jesus. And it's what the Lord was revealing me, my brother and sister. Thank you, Lord. And the Apostle Paul, okay, I want to bring this verse in 2 Timothy 2. Therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus, and that the things that thou hast heard from among many witnesses, commit thou the same to be faithful men, who shall be able to teach others also to endure, therefore, hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Are you listening? You see why we have to endure hardship? You see why it's been so difficult for us, my brother and sister? Hallelujah, because we are soldiers chosen by God before the foundation of this earth to be a soldier of Jesus, my brother and sister. And so the enemy doesn't like that. My brother and sister, he doesn't want people to come closer to God and be crying out to God, my brother and sister, because he knows God has a plan. He just doesn't know the plan well. He doesn't understand what God is doing. He knows the word, what the word of God says. God is raising an army, my brother and sister, but he doesn't know everyone with details or knows them well enough, my brother and sister. But God has a plan where each and one of us, we've been chosen, elected, selected, my brother and sister. Hallelujah. by God. Thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Listen to it. 2 Timothy 2:4. No man who warreth entangle himself with the affair of this life. This is a warning to us. We that have been chosen to work for the Lord, we do not entangle ourselves with the affair of this life, that he may please him who has chosen him to be a soldier. Please take this to heart, because when I read this verse here, this verse has blessed me for many years, my brothers and sisters. Okay? Hallelujah. Because every time I'm going to do business about something, I think about this verse. No man who worries, and this man and woman, entangle himself with the affair of this life. We need to be careful with the affair of this life. Why? Because there's so much lying, stealing, my brother and sister, in the affair of this life. And if we get involved ourselves with it, doing businesses in this life, and we have to work, we know all this, we just have to be honest before God. We don't steal, my brother and sister. We have to keep ourselves pure for his coming, the Bible says. So it's important that this verse, we make it personal. No man or woman, and hallelujah, who worries, entangle himself with the affair of this life, that he may please him who has chosen him to be a soldier. Father, our Lord has chosen us to be a soldier. We're here to please him. And without faith, it's impossible to please him, my brother and sister. So we believe his calling on our lives. Thank you, Lord. Very, very important. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. And then 2 Timothy 2:3, endure therefore hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. My brother and sister, thank you, Lord. We are soldiers of the Lord. We need to endure hardship. It's not easy, but the Lord is with us, my brother and sister. Hallelujah. We have to resist the devil, and he will flee for us. So the Lord comes down with us, my brother and sister. Thank you, Lord. And I've been warned tonight that the second part of this message, if there are any children around, they may not be allowed to hear this part of the second message, my brother and sister, because I'm going to share, praise the Lord, something much stronger as we came down to the earth, my brother and sister. But everyone, okay, so parents who have children beside them, please tell them to go on the other room until we share the second part. My brother and sister, please, tonight, thank you, Lord, because it's going to be a little bit strong. And I was warned that be very careful to share it with children listening, my brother and sister. So I have to put the message, hallelujah. Now, I noticed that everyone had this golden armor that the Lord has given each and one of us, my brother and sister. None of us look no more than 20. And there were many more of us of the Lord Tower who I knew there were brothers and sisters of the Lord Tower in the group that came down with us. As I came down through the sky, my brother and sister, I was the third person that came down. And I can recognize my brother and sister. We were ready to confront the enemy's army. Hallelujah. The enemy has been building an army on this earth, way below ground this earth, my brother and sister. And his army that he's building, this is what I'm going to talk about tonight a little bit. Not too much, my brother and sister, because it has to be all about Jesus. Amen. But for the information and the revelation of the Lord, I must share this part, my brother and sister. He's been building his army. And his army is on the ground. Right now, it's not out yet, my brother and sister. And the enemy has been building his army, who is going to release soon upon this earth. But he's only going to release it when, hallelujah, the Lord comes back on his second coming. This second coming is the concern of the enemy, my brother and sister. And he's been preparing and getting ready, because he knows he has chosen us to be part of the second army. But he wants to make sure, my brother and sister, hallelujah, the battle becomes kind of even. It's not going to be even, because greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. We need to understand, my brother and sister. Here's the Lord, Revelation 19:12. His eyes were a flame of fire, and his head were many crowns. He had a name written that no man knew by himself. He was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, which is in Isaiah also. That's why in my Bible study I had all these verses put together, the vesture dipped in blood. His name is called the Word of God. Hallelujah. And the army which were in heaven, clothed with fine linen, white and clean, follow him upon white horses. Remember what the Bible says about the fine linens. How early in the chapter, during the rapture celebration or the wedding celebration, my brother and sister, what the fine linens means. Thank you, Lord. Now the Bible says that, hallelujah, to her was granted that she will be arranged in fine linen, clean and white, for the fine linen is the righteousness of the saints. Okay? The saints are coming down with the Lord, with that fine linen, my brothers and sisters, ready to borrow, ready to fight, and ready to win also. Because we will win with the Lord. That is an assurance. That's something that we can be assured, because no one can defeat the Lord, my brother and sister. And no one will defeat the Lord. So we will have, thank you, Lord, we will know that we are going to have the victory, my brother and sister, with the Lord. He never fails. He's not going to fail us, ever. The victory is ours in Christ, my brother and sister. Thank you, Lord. We have total victory in Jesus. Hallelujah. But seeing myself in that armor of gold, and seeing myself, look to myself, I look young in my glorified body, in that pure armor of gold, transferring gold, not like the gold we have down here. This is much beautiful than the gold we have down here. And then seeing my brothers and sisters with the same armor of gold, and everyone look young, handsome, and beautiful. If you like to hear that, praise the Lord. Everyone looks young, made by God. He promised us that in the blink of an eye, in the twinkling of an eye, we are going to be changed and we're going to be transformed. It's part of his promise. At the last trumpet, my brother and sister, the last trumpet is a departure trumpet. And so this is the last trumpet that we are about to sound. It's so, so, so close, my brother and sister. This past week, as I have seen the biggest confirmation to the coming of the Lord. I say about 2 to 3 years ago, the Lord showed me that where my son Joshua will be, my brother and sister, at the school that he's starting this year, hallelujah, he showed me, my brother and sister, that while my son was at that school, sometime during that time, the rapture that happens, And the great tribulation, still being at this school, which only can be in that school for 2 years, the great tribulation began. And so, hallelujah, my wife was supposed to take him to school, and she asked me to go. And I said, because she usually take the children for school, especially to get to know the school the first time. So she wanted me to take him because I already taken the other two children. I said, okay, I'll go with him. So we decided all to go together. While I was driving to the parking lot of the school, I began to see everything the Lord has shown me about 3 years ago. Okay, this is in sixth grade. 3 years ago, this school, and I remember that I had the teacher run right after the rapture. My son was raptured out of there. And I came there. My son had already been raptured. But I came in front of the school. I saw the teacher with a group of children waiting for their parents outside the school to pick them up. And I remember telling the teacher, when I heard the howling of the werewolf, my brother and sister, I was telling someone this week, those werewolves that were coming was their parents, my brother and sister, to come and eat the children. My brother, you see where we are with all this mess down here? People don't understand how messy this is. This is a great mess. You cannot imagine the mess that we're among down here, my brother and sister. So when I heard the howling of the werewolf, and I can see them afar, then changing into werewolf, and the teacher was like, "What is this?" And she grabbed some of the children. I say, "Run into the school back with the children." Okay? I'll try to protect them as much as I try to hold them back as much as I can. My brother insisted. I was planning to, if I needed to knock down one of the werewolf and not allow them to eat the children, confront them, my brother and sister. I'm not afraid of them. I am not afraid. I have ran right beside them in the Great Tribulation as they've been chasing me. The only reason why I ran in the Great Tribulation is because I know these werewolves are very strong. And if they will sink their teeth in my hand, I'm pretty sure they can probably cause some harm in me. I don't know. Or probably not harm, but pain. Pain. And I want to avoid the pain. So I ran for my life. Thank you, Lord. And mostly I do it to protect other people because I saw this young boy. And I knew he had no chance because the Lord brought me in there. I was in my glorified body. There's no way these werewolves can harm me in any way possible. Okay? I don't think even if they bite me, they can hurt me. But I saw this young boy who stayed behind the Great Tribulation. He was about 8 or 9, no more. And he was dead meat. I mean, he was, there was no way he could escape these beasts, 9 and 10 feet tall. And he was about 5 feet or less. And I'm looking at him, I'm seeing the people changing into great beasts, and I knew they were going to eat him. For some reason, I knew he was not going to change. For some reason, I knew he was not going to change, my brother and sister. So I felt so bad for him. And I went and ran to him, and I grabbed him by the arm, and I said, "Run with me, run." Okay? I didn't have to do that because, imagine, it's a great tribulation. All kinds of evil. People are turning into werewolves and beasts. Okay? I could say that's not my business. But I, you know, the Lord has put this in my heart that if I see someone in danger, I want to help immediately. My brother and sister, hallelujah. You know, his love, his care is in our heart. It's in my heart. So immediately I want to help. I didn't want to see the beast tearing him apart. My brother is right there next to me and me not doing anything about it. Like in another occasion of the Great Tribulation, this demon was harassing these children. And then in some occasion, he would take one, this beast, this great demon, and he would start biting them and cutting their arm and leg. These children were no more than 8 or 9 years of age. And they were crying and calling for help. Nobody cared to help. And I was there. And I said, "Look, I'm going to help you." And the demon were coming, and I confronted the demon. And I said, "You better not touch these children." The demon said, "Who are you to intervene in my business?" They have said that to me so many times in the Great Tribulation. And I said, "You better get out of here. I'm going to rebuke you." And he knew the Lord was with me, and he ran. My brother and sister, the children was, oh, thank you very much, thank you. Finally, someone cared. Because that's what the Great Tribulation is. No one cares for nobody. People go by people with missing leg, bleeding to death in the Great Tribulation, because no one dies in the Great Tribulation. This is the sad part. But it's a good thing because they can repent. They can repent. And people go by then and they don't care. People are crying for hungry, for food, for water. They go by, they don't care, my brother and sister. It's really sad, really sad. Okay, so in this revelation of the children, my brother and sister, I began to help the teacher to bring the children into the school, and I said, "Lock the door," because the school, most of the school door or main doors are made of steel, my brother and sister. They're made of steel. Okay, so I said, the werewolf's not going to be able to get to the front door. The teacher didn't understand why people were turning into werewolves. I was a bit concerned of the teacher herself was going to turn into werewolf because, oh, Shalom Sister, healing of the heart. Because a lot of teachers have been vaccinated. So I'm like, who knows? Okay? So in the Great Tribulation, I don't trust anybody but only the Lord. Even friends of mine who stay behind or even family who I see, I don't trust anyone in the Great Tribulation. Okay? I only trust the Lord. My brother and sister. So I was a bit nervous that the Great Tribulation had started and this teacher was helping these children, but she wasn't turning. but their parents were coming to eat their own children. The Great Tribulation is a nightmare for anyone. This is why, my brothers and sisters, I've been preaching as loud as I can for people not to stay behind, because it's going to be horrible. Okay? So, yes, I'm seeing him in the second coming of the Lord, my brothers and sisters. And I'm rejoicing seeing them, my brothers and sisters, because it was awesome. It's the Lord's army coming down with the Lord to defeat his enemy, his army. But here's the thing. As I came down, the enemy's army began to come up from the ground, my brothers and sisters. They began to break up through the ground. And they have the armor, they have the sword to fight us. Okay? Praise you. And this is the part where I said to, please don't let the children hear what I'm going to say. My brother and sister, they began to come up, and I saw Brother Miguel and Sister Rivera and everybody else confronting them with a sword and overcoming them, my brother and sister. Hallelujah. It was a battle. But as one of them came up, my brother and sister, one of this, he was about 13 feet high. So he was taller than me, my brother and sister. He came up from the ground. I'm looking at his face, and he looks just like me. And I'm like, huh? Then I remember, my brother and sister, how the devil has been forming his army, my brother and sister. Have you ever had a wet dream where a demon comes to the person in the dream? A demon sleep with that person and gets that DNA. I'm going to call it DNA. And goes down and that baby becomes part of the army of Satan. He's been building his army out of the shortcoming of Christian, my brother and sister. Hallelujah. And I remember years ago I had a problem with this in my dream. The enemy kept attacking me in my dream, my brother and sister. And I kept fighting and doing warfare years ago. Warfare. Until I was crying out to the Lord to help me do warfare, because it was so nice. It was so difficult. I felt so ashamed as a Christian, my brother and sister. And I kept doing warfare. And the Lord began to open my spiritual eye and show me. And those warfare, who was coming into my apartment, into my house? Demon to sleep with me. Satan bride, my brother and sister. And that's why I was having this wet dream, my brother and sister. And so this soldier that I'm confronting is my own seed. Oh, he is so evil. He is so evil. He is so wicked. Satan is the right title for him. It's the right name for him. My brother and sister, because he thinks that if he builds his army out of us, yes, succubus and incubus, my brother and sister, the devil, my brother and sister, he thinks that if he builds his army from Christians, his soldier will be much stronger to fight us in the second coming with the Lord, my brother and sister. Because once you see your seed grow, your daughter, you're fighting your daughter, you're fighting your son, you're going to think about, I put my sword down. When I started with my son, I laid my sword down. And Sister Rose approached me and said, Brother Elvie, don't you know how to fight? And I said, Sis, do you look at the soldiers that came up? Do you look at his face? He looks just like me. It was my own seed that I'm fighting, my brother and sister. And she's like, but we need to fight. And I say, yes, I'm going to fight. And I say, yes, sister, I know how to fight. I know how to fight. We fight. The armor of the Lord is the Holy Spirit. It's the Lord. The sword of the Lord is the Lord. It's the Holy Spirit, my brother and sister. And that's the armor that we're fighting with. The sword that is on fire in our hand is the Bible. But now, because we are soldiers, and we are in the reality of God, my brother and sister, because this earth is like a dream. Paul says that this is like a dream. Hallelujah. But in the real reality, we are soldiers of God in the second coming. And the sword in our hand is the word. my brother, that we know now that we read, that we are being trained, my brothers, to learn of God, to learn of him who is humble and meek of heart, and how to find peace for our soul. My brother and sister, and rebuke, cast out all evil in the name of the Lord. Trap on serpent and scorpion, my brother and sister. That's what we're being trained for now. Thank you, Lord, for that, my brother and sister. So I began to raise my sword again, and I'm thinking, I'm going to have to confront this soldier. I'm going to have to confront this, my own flesh, my own child. But here's the thing about him. Yes, he was half of me, but the other half was demonic, my brother and sister. I look close to his skin. It looks like my skin, but hallelujah, yes, yes. And not only that, David fought Goliath. Goliath was the seed of the giant. Goliath was the seed of, Absalom was his son. Goliath was the seed of the giant. But yes, thank you, Absalom was his son. So thank you for that. So we're going to have to fight our own flesh, our own seed. The devil's so wicked and so evil that you come back with your sword and you're so happy to fight beside the Lord. The Lord is sending you to fight. In order to sign, you're ready to fight someone, my brother and sister. And the one you're seeing, he was over 20. Okay? He looked to me over 20. So this used to happen to me mostly over 20 years ago, my brother and sister. I was having these, hallelujah, dreams in the middle of the night, and the Lord showed me a demon, a bride of the devil on top of me, my brother and sister. And when the Lord began to make me stronger, one night, four of them were coming. And the Lord immediately opened my eyes, and I got up, and I said to them, you better get out of here before I rebuke. And they turned around, and they started walking backward. They were beautiful bride of Satan, because the devil made them beautiful to make people fall, my brother and sister. Okay? But I tell you, they're wicked and they're evil. And they look like women. They look like supermodel that you see on the internet or on television, my brother and sister. Hallelujah. Yes, they're half demon and they're half human, my brother and sister. That's what I noticed as I look at their skin. And this child of mine, if I could call it that, I don't know if I want to call it that. This demon, this half human, which the Nephtali in the reality of the Nephtali, they are half human, half demon or fallen angel. That's why they feel entitled to be on the earth as demon, my brother and sister, because they came to be out of the daughters of men and fallen angels, my brother and sister. So they think that they have the same right that you and I have to be in on this earth. And that's why they are going to be released during the seven-year Great Tribulation. They have to be released, my brother and sister, because they were born out of the women, okay, out of the daughters of men, okay? So there is no entitleship in it, legally. There's no entitleship because you were born on this earth, and if you had children, my brother and sister, they are your legal. Under the law of men, they are entitled to whatever you leave behind, your house, your money, okay? And I don't want to get into that legal term, my brother and sister, but they are entitled to whatever you leave for them, okay? They can go to court and say, well, my mother was so-and-so, this woman of God, and you know, I imagine that if they do a blood test, a DNA test, it will come up positive, it will match the person. Because half of the DNA is human from that family, that mother, my brother and sister. And I don't know if you can say from that father. I believe you. No, not because the father is the devil. Okay, the father is the fallen angels. So the human part of them is the one who's entitled. My brother and sister, yes, that's, thank you for that. They are trapped here. They cannot go back to their first state. And this is something much deeper. I don't want to go into that deepness because, my brother and sister, how to cover yourself with the blood of Jesus. Lord, every life, every family, listen, cover them with the blood of Jesus. Protect us from billions and trillions of warriors, angel, archangel. Because I tell you, the devil is very mad that I'm talking about this. This is the information he doesn't want out. He doesn't want it out, my brother and sister. This is a stuff, garbage, that he's been keeping hidden for so many years. But God, the Lord, is revealing this stuff because we need to know the consequence of sin. Consequence of sin goes beyond what a lot of people understand, my brother and sister. The consequence of sin is death. And that's why their kingdom has been allowed. The consequence of sin is death. So that's why death's kingdom, and the moment Adam and Eve sinned in the garden, the kingdom of death began to be on this earth, was allowed by the right of what of the sin they committed. My brother and sister, so they are entitled to being here in both parts, the part of the sinning, death kingdom, and the part of the human part. Also, they are entitled by both way, my brother and sister. So if you talk with one of them, they'll tell you the same. I have the same way that you have as a human to being here. I have the same way of you, they'll say. Okay, because we were born by the daughters of man from fallen angel. Okay, so what can you say to that? What can you say? In humanity for many years, I say, no, they're not part of us. They don't belong on this earth. You better go back to Genesis 6 and read your Bible. Because, see, men and women began to commit these mistakes, these sins. And God in his mercy will have to fix it for us. This is a mess that only God can fix, my brother and sister. So again, hallelujah. The Lord showed me, my brothers and sister, fully armed to confront this demon. And we were fighting them sword to sword. They had their sword, we had our sword. There's no chance for them, for sure. But the question is, like me, I'm fighting my son. Hallelujah. It's not easy for me to cut into peace. Okay, thank you for that. And the first angel, which kept not the first day, but left their own habitation, having reserved an everlasting chain unto the darkness and to the judgment of the great day. Those are the 200 that talks about in the book of Enoch. I seen them. They are locked up down there. They're very mad because they cannot get out. They've been locked up unto the judgment of the great day. That's the white throne judgment. They cannot get out, but their children will get out. Okay, because the first angel had nothing to do with the flesh. They became human because they could. And then slept with the daughters of men. But their sons and daughter is a different thing. And that's something that people will have to pray about it. It's a total different thing. They have more right than the parent who were locked up until the day of judgment. They may not have the knowledge that they have in the wicked and evil, but they also did a lot of, they kill human and they ate their blood. And they ate their meat and drank their blood. Very wicked, very evil what they did, my brother and sister. That's why they were locked up until the last day. But they are going to be released. This is the part that, my brother and sister, hallelujah, it's not pleasing to anyone that humanity will have to face those evil, wicked things on the earth for about 7 years. That is terrible. 7 years of that of wicked on this earth, those sons and daughters of the Nephilim. Now, as we came down with the Lord being in the cloud, the Lord was empowering us to fight. The glory of the Lord was upon us. I can totally feel his glory on me and my glorified body. Each and one of us could feel the Lord very powerful in our life, my brother and sister. His glory was, whoa, thank you, Lord, for that, my brother and sister. And we were fighting them and overcoming them, my brother and sister. But the question is, will you kill your own seed? And the answer will have to be yes, my brother and sister. The other thinking that was coming into my mind is, you know, we come from the wedding celebration, we're rejoicing, we're so joyful, we're so thankful. Each one of us are coming with a smile from that celebration. My brother and sister, like people, some people will say, from eating so much cake and drinking so much juice, my brother, so much grape juice, up there, my brother insisted, we come down to the earth in that glorified body. And it's like God is saying to us, go fix your mess. Go fix, and your weakness, go fix the mistake you made. And it has to be by the sword. Because God's going to remove his enemy by the sword, my brother, my sister. He's going to confront them. The Lord is coming down with his sword. Okay, out of his mouth go a sharp sword where he should smite the nations and he should rule them with a rod of iron and he should tread the winepress of the fierceness of the wrath of God Almighty. So they have no chance. They have no chance. My brother insisted. But this is what we're fighting. This is what we're confronting. The mistake we made. Because God called us to be holy and righteous, to spend time with him and be unrepenting. So these wet dream, this dream that we have had, we're not supposed to be having them. Because we're supposed to call the Lord to be next to us always, especially when we're sleeping. You know that we're responsible for the sin in our sleep, my brother and sister? If you have a wicked dream, I'm going to call it wicked, lost, sinful dream, you have sinned. And you're going to have to repent for that. My brother and sister, and if you haven't repented for a lot of your dream, you got to start repenting for them. You got to start taking responsibility for your sin, my brother and sister. Okay? Because you may say to God, well, I had no control because I was sleeping. But remember what God said through James. Okay? I'm going to go there now. Thank you, Lord. My brother and sister, God is very clear through the Apostle James in regard to what we are responsible for, my brother and sister. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Praise you, God. Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Okay, I believe it's verse 12, James 1. Blesses the man that endure temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord has promised to those that love him. Let no man say, and there's a man and woman, men and women, let no man say, when he is tempted, I am tempted by God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempted he any man. But every man, and that's men and women, is tempted when he is drawn away by his own lust and enticed. And hallelujah. Then when the lust are conceived, it brings forth sin. And sin, and when a sin is bring forth death, see, it opens the door to the fallen evil one, the last enemy of God that's going to be conquered, death, the Bible said. My brother and sister. Okay, and you can say death was created by God. But the door was opened by Adam and Eve in the garden for their kingdom. My brother and sister, it would have had no kingdom, it would have had no power on the earth. Maybe in hell, because hell was created, the Bible says, for Satan and his demon. It was not created for man. But when man opened the door to death, and the kingdom of death came from hell now, to be in both on earth, I said it both in hell, my brother and sister. So think about it. I was meditating last night. Why did the Bible say that when they join someone in marriage, they say unto death do them apart? Until death separate them, in another word, my brother and sister. And I was thinking, I was meditating on this, my brother and sister, because I knew death has no power over God's people, because Jesus overcame death on the cross. Hallelujah. And so Lazarus was not dead. Lazarus was sleeping, my brother and sister. So how is it that death can separate someone? Death can only separate us from this body, not from God, my brother and sister. So when a Christian dies, a Christian goes to sleep, and death can only have right to touch this body, not the soul, and neither the spirit, my brother, my sister, which is awesome to us. Hallelujah. Those that have received Christ, hallelujah, now has a shield of protection called the seal of the Holy Spirit on their life. So now death cannot harm them. Death cannot kill them unless God says, so, okay, I allow this person to die. Or it is the time that God have appointed for that person to die. Okay? Understand this by the word of God, my brothers and sisters. So every man is tempted when he is drawn away by his own lust and enticed. So when a person is dreaming and is thinking of someone, right? We don't need to describe this. We don't need to describe the dream. And is thinking evil in the dream, that opens the door for that demon to, hallelujah, to increase that evil. And even for this bride to enter into that dream or come into the person and be with the person as they were with her husband and wife, my brother and sister, and then take that DNA back to hell and have an extra boy or girl for the army of the devil. And they were coming down from the ground. I saw some of the men had long hair like women. It's like I can pretty much say that that's a girl coming out. A mighty soldier of the devil army, my brother and sister. Because in my thinking that they were all men, but as I kept looking, they were not necessarily all men. And some of them, yes, I was looking them from the distance because there were so many of them coming down from the ground. It's a mighty army. And I say mighty, not mighty in power. They're mighty in numbers. Okay? Because that's what the devil wanted. He wanted to have, I believe for every Christian, at least 1,000 of them. But no problem. Don't worry. Don't be nervous. You will overcome them very easily. Remember the men of David who overcame one of them, could kill over 10 of them, my brother and sister. Easily. Under the power of God, they had no chance with us. The devil thinks he has a chance, but not under the us being under the power of the Lord, my brother and sister. No, they had no chance. And all I could think was, all I could think about the power of Jesus being in my life, and I was trained. This is another thing, because I was meditating on this. I know we're going to heaven for the 7-year wedding celebration, but I'm sure there's going to be a time where we are going to be trained, okay? That maybe this is something I should pray about and ask the Lord, okay, about our training. But I also knew this, because the Lord revealed me this through Brother Benjamin, because he was talking about another brother. He was saying that he was doing a lot of warfare, that that's why he could have fight him very well. Okay? Spiritual warfare, and I can hear my brother while I was seeing all these things, my brother and sister. So spiritual warfare, what the Lord was letting me know, it prepares us for that battle. For that second coming of Jesus. It prepared us very well. And I also knew that we were coming from heaven. And we were coming from that wedding. In our glorified body. My brother and sister. Which the wedding celebration is about to begin now. My brother and sister. Very, very close. Very. I mean very close. We don't know the day and hour. But the confirmation I got this week was that when my son will be at that school, and he only can be 2 years at that school. This is the thing that I was saying. He just started sixth grade, and he can only be there until, I believe, eighth grade. And from there, my brother and sister, he will have to go to Hallelujah High School. So 2 years, that's all he can be in that school. And in that vision of the Lord 2-3 years ago, when he showed me that, he was 2 years away, almost three, before he can get to the middle school, my brother and sister. And the Lord showed me that while he will be there, the rapture and the great tribulation will begin. He was not giving me the day. But I saw it happen while he was still at that school, and that's the shocking part. When I got into the parking lot, I was in my car, yeah, shocked looking at the school. My brother and sister, all this confirmation to come to me within 1 week, my brother and sister. It was like, wow, 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 because I did ask the Lord, okay? Because Father, and the Lord said to me, it is over for you here. And he's talking about his coming. And he's saying it's over, so I asked the Lord, Lord. And he said, yes. So we don't have much. He's not giving us a day and hour, okay? He is not giving us a day and hour. But that it is close, my brothers and sisters, it is, hallelujah, amazing. Amazing in this confirmation because, hallelujah, I didn't expect this confirmation to come this soon. And seeing it with my own eyes, now I'm thinking, wow, 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 wow. The Lord is right when he said it's over for us. We don't have much, my brother and sister. We are so close. I heard a brother saying today that we have just entered the Shemitah. According to the Jewish Bible, he was saying that the seven-year Shemitah begins at the end of this year, my brother and sister. Because remember, we started the Shemitah in January of 2022, the seven-year famine. But he's saying that in the Jewish Bible, it's not the same. The Jewish new calendar began, I believe it's in the end of our Gentile calendar. If someone knows the day, please put it on the chat room so I can tell people the day when the Jewish calendar this year, I believe it's by the end of the year, I'm not sure what month of this year, the new Jewish calendar began. And he says that's when the real seven-year Shemitah began. Because I know the Lord said the economy is going to fall, my brother and sister. But I've been counting since January. But he says that you cannot compare our calendar to the Jewish calendar because they're totally different. And I said, that's right. That is totally right. That is totally right. I should have looked it up, but I believe it's by the end of this year. He says, we cannot go. And he says, the great tribulation should fall, according to him, should fall on the beginning of the seven-year great famine. Usually, this is when these events fall, like the great tribulation, my brother and sister. Okay? So, Brother Estrada says that in the month of December, my brother and sister. And I'm sorry I've been calculating by our Gentile, our Roman calendar, but we should always stick with the Jewish calendar. But anyway, it doesn't matter because it's close. It is close. There's not much for December, my brother and sister. So all this is tied in together. It's so close. It is so, so close, my brother and sister. And I know Father said it's over. The Lord said it's over. It's over. He said it to my face. The Lord looked at me and said it's over. Father looked at me and it said it's over. Looked in my eyes. Both looked in my eyes and it's over to me. I trust God. I trust God in all this, my brother and sister. He said it's over. He didn't tell me the day of the rapture, the departure, but he told me it's over. I trust God in this. The Lord rebuked me for doubting it. We cannot doubt God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Okay, Rosh Hashanah began in September. I believe that's what I heard someone say, the New Year calendar. Praise you, Lord. Amen. So, my brother and sister, we are so close to all this mess that the great tribulation is about. But God's going to take his people out, his children out. My brother and sister, I know that the Lord confirmed that the 3 days of darkness are very close also. Very close, my brother and sister. Those are his words. Okay, they're closer than what we think. And here's the thing. When the judgment began, the Eastern Tsunami, remember we talked about the Eastern Tsunami, the earthquake in California, all these events are close, very, very close. And I'm sorry for the people in California that I keep telling you this earthquake is coming. And you better knowing than not knowing. Because when the earthquake begins in California, if you're not prepared with God, if you're not repenting, my brother and sister, you might end up staying behind, okay? my brother and sister, and they are formation around my brother and sisters, around California, of earthquakes. You can look it up online. You can follow this stuff online. I'm signing up to them. Every time there's an earthquake, I get from the government website, I get an email, an alert, my brother and sister, my email. So some of you want to sign up and keep up. There's a lot of movement going on, my brother and sisters. The other thing is the line of fire. The line of fire that comes from California all the way to Maine, my brother and sister, all that has been moving slowly to and fro. And scientists have been hearing the information from people. I heard this online, and they're saying that they're hiding the information, that our country is shaking. So for sure, I have felt shaking here in North Carolina, my brother and sister. We are about a few miles from that line of fire all the way from California to Maine, my brother and sister. And I tell you, it is shaking up here. It is moving. You can feel the shaking sometime at night or in the afternoon. If you stay calm, you can feel the movement that the scientists are hiding. They are hiding this information from the people not to bring fear. The other information is NASA is getting ready for a meteor to hit the earth this year, before this year is over. Remember the prophecy of Prophet Ephraim Rodriguez, my brother and sister. If you've not heard about him, look him up. The Lord showed Brother Ephraim that a piece of rock is going to hit Puerto Rico, and it's going to cause a great wave tsunami that is going to come, my brother and sister, to the United States. Yeah, the San Andreas fault line, the San Andreas fault line, that's the ring of fire that comes from California all the way, the line, the ring, all the way to Maine. Okay? This piece of meteor rock that is going to hit near Puerto Rico, okay, the island Mona, that's where NASA has all these equipment online. Brother called me to tell me this. He asked me if I was aware of this. I said no. And we were on the phone for an hour. He began to give me all this information. Brother Elvie, NASA have moved specialized vehicle to the island Mona. They have missile to knock down this meteor that's going to hit the earth. They believe that this meteor is so close to our planet that before this year is over, it's going to hit our planet. And they're planning to knock it out. But even NASA and scientists are afraid that they might not be able to knock it out completely. Okay? There is a Christian meteor movie online. I was watching it the other night. Let me see if I can get a link from YouTube, my brother and sister. It's free to watch on YouTube. This movie, okay, shows you the mess that this meteor, when it hits the United States, starting with California, is going to cause, my brother and sister. Okay, I want to give you the link of this movie, okay, when you have some time, watch it with your family. But I believe this movie is going to open your eyes, my brother and sister, on what is about to hit the United States. This meteor is real, my brother and sister. I know a lot of people have ignored this stuff and have taken it for granted and made fun of people who's been talking about this for years. But when God speaks certain like this through his prophet and warns us that something like this is coming, it is not for people to take it for granted. People take for granted things that they should not take for granted, my brother and sister. And then they take serious what they should not take serious, my brother and sister. This is why we pray about everything, okay? Instead of assuming or coming out with a conclusion about things, no. We pray about them. We seek the Lord. We ask the Lord to show us, to reveal to us about these things, my brothers and sisters. So we are ready, prepared for this mess that is coming on the earth, because it's going to be such a great mess like people cannot imagine, especially on the United States. NASA will now be moving all those equipment that they're moving to that island close to Puerto Rico if they did not feel sure. Okay, here's the thing. If they not feel sure that this meteor is about to hit the earth, they will not move all those equipment, my brother and sister. They will not waste their time moving the equipment because it costs millions of dollars for them to move those equipment, my brother and sister. Okay? So why move them if you know it's not something that is going to happen, my brother and sister? NASA feel very sure that this meteor is going to hit our planet soon. Okay? The other part for NASA and the government to calculate where details, information, that this is going to hit near Puerto Rico, my brother insisted. This is another, hallelujah, questionable coincidence, but we know that in God there's no coincidence, my brother insisted. There's no coincidence in God, in the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Okay? When he said that these things are going to happen, they're going to happen. Let me put it in the chat room, probably put it in the website, my brother and sister. But here's the link. Watch that movie tonight, later on, when you have some time, and see that this meteor that's going to hit United States, close to California, okay? Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus. Thank you, brother. It's coming. It's coming. And NASA's getting ready. Scientists, I heard that scientists, brother, was telling me. Scientists knew about this. But the government had warned them not to create fear among the people. To keep this quiet and to do what they can. But some scientists have told the government that they know they're not going to be able to knock it down completely. Some of this great rock that is coming is going to hit our nation. Look at the coincidence, if you want to call it coincidence. How is it that this scientists are getting ready next to Puerto Rico to knock this meteor down, my brother and sister? Hallelujah. How is it that they're getting ready to knock it down and that they know specifically that it's going to hit near Puerto Rico when God has prophesied this to Prophet Ephraim? How many years now? 5 years? 6 years? Or more? Or 7 years, he's a prophesied that this meteor was coming to hit in Puerto Rico. And now what a coincidence that it's about to hit this year and the NASA's getting ready to knock it down, my brother and sister. And the scientists know that they're not going to be able to knock it down completely, that some rock, big rock, are going to hit the United States or hit close to the United States and cause a tsunami that they're so afraid of. And God showed me this 1,000-foot tsunami coming to Florida, the eastern part of the United States, all the way to Boston. How many years ago did God show me this? Over 10 years ago now? It's on YouTube, my brother and sister. The Lord spoke to me in heaven. I remember a couple of years ago, about 3 years. He said, my son, what I have spoken to you about these three signs are going to come to pass, he says to me. It's my word, he says to me. Jesus said to me up in the throne in heaven, my brother and sister, amen, Lord. That gave me great peace because, you know, you speak, and you always want to hear the Lord confirm it. When he tells you something, you say it. Because there's so many ears hearing and so many people watching, my brother and sister, and I'm sure they're looking forward to seeing this come to pass. It's going to come to pass, I tell you, my brother and my sister. And it's going to come to pass soon. Sooner than what people think, I tell you that right now. So please, if you are in California, if you're around Florida, please be in prayer, always be repenting daily, because if the Lord had not led you to move out of Florida and California, the eastern part of the United States, most likely is that if you die, you will be with the Lord, to be absent from your body, to be present with the Lord. Okay, so it's not a concern when, oh, you're going to die. No, because if you die and you're fine with God, you'll be in heaven soon. You'll be in heaven maybe sooner than us, my brother and my sister. So it doesn't matter. It doesn't really matter. But you will also want to make sure that the Lord is leading you. If the Lord has told you to move, be obedient to the Lord. That I tell you that. And I have said that from the beginning. Be obedient to the Lord. If the Lord has said for you to move, move. Don't wait. Don't put it off. Because one of these days, It's going to be all over the news, my brothers and sisters. And the sad part is we're going to cry. We're going to cry because we know that brothers and sisters in California, we know that brothers and sisters in the eastern part of the United States, so many lives are going to be lost. It's going to be caught people by surprise. When the Lord took me to New Jersey, it was over 100 feet, foot of water, seawater, over New Jersey, over Union City. And I remember I was swimming up from the bottom, my brother and sister. And when it's about 100 feet of water and you have to swim from the bottom to the top, oh, man, I was running out of air, swimming and swimming and swimming. I'm a good swimmer. I have swim since I was little, back in the river, back in the island, and my brother and sisters. Maybe because I'm getting old, I'm not such a great swimmer. But anyway, I know how to swim. And I was swimming because, like Paul says, in the body, outside the body, I knew I was in my body. And this revelation of the Lord took me to New Jersey. He wanted me to experience the tsunami. Okay, the tsunami had already passed. He immediately took me in the bottom of the tsunami in New Jersey. That struck New Jersey. It had damaged the city completely. New York was underwater. And when I opened my eyes, I was there. He took me right from my bed into that tsunami in New Jersey. My brother and sister, I had to immediately hold my breath and begin to swim up because I was in my body, my brother and sister, and swimming, swimming, swimming. I kept looking for the top because I just wanted to get to the top and breathe, my brother and sister. It was one of those things that the Lord liked me to experience. Like I know I've been in the great tribulation in this body also because I had felt it, talking with the people, looking at my body and like, uh-oh, I better run and hide myself. And I've been hiding there also, like the rest of the people, the Christians that are hiding there, my brother and sister. So it's difficult. It's difficult to experience these things, but when God wants you to experience them, there's no saying no to God. You just have to be obedient and let him take you there, my brother and sister. Okay? Now, he has a vesture on his tie named written King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Hallelujah. And the angel standing at the sun, he cried with a loud voice, saying, to all the forces that flies in the midst of heaven, come and gather yourself together to the supper of the great God. I was looking at this because it says in Isaiah and Jeremiah and them how God's enemy are going to be destroyed with the bending of God in the last days. They prophesied this, my brother and my sister, and said that they will be destroyed, that they will be no more. They are not going to resist God's power. There's no way possible they can, my brother and sister. Okay? And then, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Then you may eat the flesh of the king and the flesh of captain. Notice that, hallelujah, these are leaders of the nations ready to fight the Lord. Notice how our country, our beloved country, our beloved leaders in power and office right now who have rejected our Lord inside the country with the devil, sold their soul to the devil for money. Get ready with the army of Satan and their army to confront who? Us in the Lord. My brothers and sisters, they're ready to confront us. Okay? So be ready to fight your own country, your own army, your own marine. When we come back from that wedding celebration, my brother and sister, it's going to be a sad day for the people that love this country. But when they come down with the Lord, you have no choice but to fight because they're coming against you. And yes, no weapon against you will prosper, but you're going to have to fight. And you're going to have to fight your beloved country, your beloved army, my brother and sister, because you have made a choice. And you have chose the Lord to be in your God and be in your Lord and be in your king and be in your commander-in-chief. You're going to have to listen to his order now, my brother and sister. He's given you a glorified body. He's given you a special armor that can withhold their sword and whatever they throw against you. So you don't need to worry about their weapons. But you're going to have to cut them to pieces. Okay? You're going to have to cut to pieces your own people, my brothers. Can you do that? You're going to have to do that for the Lord. You're going to have to do that for your God. Because he has chosen you to be his soldier, my brother and sister. And it's your own country coming against you. They're bringing the tanks. They're bringing out the specialized missile. My brother and sister, the M-16. Hallelujah. The F-16 plane, they're bringing it against you. Okay? All the Humvees coming against you. What are you going to do? Are you going to stand there and say, I forgive all of you? You're going to have to fight, my sister, my brother. It's what the Lord has chosen us to do. Praise the Lord. We've been chosen, elected, selected by God. I know this is sad, but I have to say this to you. You need to hear how God has chosen and preparing us for it. And you'll be surprised when you come down with the Lord and you see over me are people that you may know, okay, ready to fight you. And you can try to talk them out. They're not going to listen to you. They already made their choice. You have already made your choice. Get ready to fight with the Lord. So I'm going to tell you this. Your own government is going to fight you, not brother and sister. But you'll have the sword of the Lord in your hand. And you can cut their vehicle and cut them to pieces within a second. Praise the Lord. It has to be this way. That you may eat the flesh of king, the flesh of cock, and the flesh of mighty man, the flesh of horses and them that sit on them, the flesh of old men, both free of mind, both small and gray. Okay? So you're going to cut the horses to pieces also. Those that will come against you with horses, okay, you're going to have to cut them to pieces and cut their horses to pieces. Are you ready to do that? Or you're going to say, not the horses, Lord. Lord, poor animal. We're not going to kill a poor animal. No, because everything will be corrupted. Men have corrupted themselves, and all flesh are corrupted themselves, the Bible says, in Genesis 6. It's like in the days of Noah, my sister, my brother. Okay? Praise you, Lord. You're going to have to fight and cry later, my brother and sister. It's going to be sad. I put down my sword because I was like, huh? Remember David? Who am I to kill the anointed of the Lord? My brother and sister. He didn't want to kill King Saul. He had the chance to do so many times. But even though Saul had forsaken God and gone with the devil, still David made his choice for God. And David did not kill him. Mercy be. But you know what? When we come down, we have to fight. We've been chosen to be in the army of God to fight, my brothers and sisters. And so this is the way God wants us to be. This is the way it's going to be. And I saw the beast and the king of the earth and their army gathered together to make word against him that sat on the horse and against his army. His army is you and I. Are you listening? Who's going to make word against you? Who's coming against you with no mercy, my brothers and sisters, to hurt you? Hallelujah. Haven't they hurt you enough with the high taxes already, my brother and sister? Thank you, Lord. They're coming against you now. I should come with the Lord. And looking at my brothers and sisters ready to fight, that means we have training in heaven. We're going to heaven not just to celebrate. We're going to be trained. We're going to be given orders, leading up the Lord, my brother, instruction. My brother and sister, we need to be obedient. That is the fact of all this. Obedience is better than sacrifice. Amen? To make word against him and they that sit on the horse and against his army. Okay? So some of you cannot say, they're not going to fight me. They know I'm a nice lady. I'm a nice brother. No, they're going to fight you. Verse 1, and the beast was taken, and with him the false prophet who brought miracle in the presence, hallelujah, by which he deceived them that had received the mark of the beast. And then the worship the image, the devil will cast the life in the lake of fire that burned with fire and brimstone. You don't see the Lord hesitating. You don't see the Lord Jesus hesitating to do what he needs to do. He knows that these wicked ones, the only way to deal with them and to remove them from the earth is to throw them in the lake of fire. He takes the false prophet and the Antichrist. Come here, you. And throws them in the lake of fire alive, my brother and sister. They can be crying for mercy. Hallelujah. He don't care for what they have to say. They're going alive in the lake of fire because they've been given years, hundreds of years to repent. And they're not repenting, my brother and sister. This is the final battle. that God has determined, my brother and sister. He speaks it in his word very clear, through his prophet, very clear, my brother and sister. And the remnant was slain with the sword by him that sat upon the horse, whose sword proceeded out of his mouth, and the four were filled with their flesh. There you go, my brother and sister. Hallelujah. The only way to deal with the army of the devil that he's preparing now is to cut them to pieces. Yes, they are our sea, but they are our sea contaminated with all kinds of evil, demonic beings. The DNA is completely mixed DNA with them, my brothers and sisters. I can see that they were human and angel at the same time, mixed DNA, my brothers and sisters. And I saw their look, very serious, well-trained soldier. And they didn't care who we were. They didn't look at us like, those are my parents, I'm not going to kill them. No. The devil has trained them to kill, steal, and destroy. As John 10 says, say, my brother and sister. And they're coming out, my brother and sister, to kill anyone who get on their ways. They know who the devil has trained them to kill. Kill the church, he's going to say. Kill the church. Kill the follower of the Lord. Kill his army. And they're coming ready to fight. And we need to fight also for the Lord, my brother and sister, who has chosen us, elected, selected us to fight. There's no turning back. There's no saying to the Lord, Lord, I'm not going to fight, because we are soldiers of Christ, the Bible says, my brother and sister. And a soldier of Christ, hallelujah, God is working in us, or with us, to be obedient to him, my brother and sister. And the days where we are going to show the Lord that we've been well-trained, hallelujah, by him, and it will be the day when we have to fight, my brother and sister, because we're coming with him to rule out evil. He's going to use us, my brother and sister, to rule out evil from the earth, hallelujah, my brother and sister. Hallelujah. Jeremiah 34:1. The words which came unto Jeremiah from the Lord, when Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, and all his army, and all the kingdom of the earth, his dominion, and all the people fought against Jerusalem, against all the city, they were saying, God has said through Jeremiah that King Nebuchadnezzar will come in with his army to kill, steal, and destroy, my brother and sister. And he needed to tell the people that King Nebuchadnezzar will have no mercy on them, my brother and sister, because they were not ready to confront King Nebuchadnezzar, because they were in sin and disobedient. They could not fight King Nebuchadnezzar. But King Nebuchadnezzar was going to deceive them. But us coming with the Lord from heaven on the earth, we are more than ready to fight, my brother and sister. We're not going to have the problem of being in sin because we've been in heaven. So easily under the power of God to overcome all evil, my brother and sister. The Lord has chosen us to be part of his army. And we are going to fight, my brother and sister, with the Lord, the side of the Lord. Thank you, Lord. Jeremiah 39:1. The 9 year, Zedekiah, king of Judah, the 10 months, came Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, and all his army against Jerusalem, and they besieged, my brother and sister. What the enemy did in the past, he's going to do it again in the future. He's going to bring all his army, the underground army, to try to besiege God's people as they're coming down from heaven. With endless army, my brother and sister. And the Lord is coming with elected, selected. That's it, that were Gideon. Remember that through Gideon, his servant, the Lord chose elected, selected men. Not everyone that was there, thousands of them that were willing to fight that the Lord chosen. We are chosen warrior for the Lord, my brother and sister. We are not just any people. We've been elected, selected by Father, giving us to the Lord to prepare us for this battle. Since before the foundation of the earth, Paul says to the churches, my brother and sister, we will know how to fight very well. Are rebuking demons and principality that comes over our lives that attack us in different way, in different form, in different shape. This is part of the training that the Lord has been given unto us on this earth before we come home in the rapture, departure of the bride of Christ that is about to happen, my brother and sister. We are being trained for years now. This is why, you see, the rapture has not happened yet. Because we've been under training by the Lord, the Holy Spirit, for us to be ready for this battle. A soldier of Christ, for us to be ready to fight besides the Lord. As the Lord comes down on his horse, so are we coming down on our horses, my brother and sister, to fight. Hallelujah. And the army of the devil, the underground army, are coming up to the earth to confront us, my brother and sister. But the wicked part is that they are a shortcoming, hallelujah, our sons and daughters, well-trained soldier to fight us. The enemy wants to use the sentiment, the feeling of people to say, I'm not going to fight my daughter. I'm not going to fight my son. No. My brother and sister, we've been trained for this. Our feelings are not going to stop us. Hallelujah. To fight them. When sister saw me put my weapon down, she thought that I have forgotten my training. No. I said, sis, I know how to fight. But do you see the soldier that is in front of me? He looks just like me. That's my own seed I'm fighting. Praise the Lord. I hesitated, but it didn't mean that I wasn't going to fight. It means that what the Lord wanted me to see is, hallelujah, the wickedness that came out of my own shortcoming, out of our own lust, out of our own sin. Sin that a lot of people think is okay because it happened once in the middle of the night. It's not okay. It's not okay for us to sing at any time. Day, night, morning, afternoon. It's never okay. Sin is never okay with God because sin gives life to death, my brother and sister. It empowers that wicked demon of death to send demons into our life and attack us, my brother and sister. Sin is the only open door the devil can use to accuse us of and attack us, my brother and sister. When not in any sin and they didn't repent, the devil attacked them day and night, my brother and sister. It was not easy. Hallelujah. Then we see Cain being born, Abel being born afterward, my brother and sister, and the wicked that happened with Cain rising against Abel and killing his own brother. That was an act of the devil. Cain is called the wicked one, my brother and my sister. It complicates everything. Sins complicate everything because it opens the door for evil. It opens the door for wickedness, my brother and sister. It opens the door for death. It opens the door for the enemy to attack us. Let us prepare. Let us be wise in the last days, my brother and sister. And let's flee, as the Bible said, from temptation. Let's flee from lust. Let's flee from the things, my brother and sister, hallelujah, that want to entice us, the Bible says. Because there's so much sin, hallelujah, that want to entice us in the last days, that God wants us to flee from them. Run from temptation, the Bible says. Because God knows, hallelujah, that if we don't run from it, hallelujah, we will join it, and it will become part of us, my brother and sister, and it will make our lives so miserable. Because that's what sin does. Sin makes our lives miserable. It separates us from God. It separates us from the things that we want to enjoy. We want to enjoy being in the presence of God. We want to be empowered in the presence of God. Sins steals that from us, my brother and sister. It steals our joy. It steals our peace. It steals our relationship with God, my brother and sister. It creates a division. Hallelujah. God don't want to be away from us. God wants to be in our life in all time because out of his presence comes joy, comes peace, comes life, my brother and sister. And God wants us to have life. In his life, hallelujah, the Bible says it's in his son, Jesus. His life is in his son. Life is in the blood that was shed on Calvary. When we repent, the blood of Jesus cleanses us and gives us life. not only cleanses us, but it gives us life. And through that life comes joy. Through that life comes peace. Through that life comes freedom. A lot of people don't know what it is to be free in the Lord. A lot of people don't know what it is to enjoy freedom in Christ, my brother and sister, because they have not totally been set free. But the Bible says that thou shalt know the truth, John 8:32, and the truth shall make you free. John 8:36, if the Son shall make you free, thou wilt be freed indeed. You need to seek that from God. You need to seek that from the Lord Jesus, that he will make you free. You need to fast and pray. You need to cry out to him for you to experience freedom, for you to experience peace, joy in the Holy Spirit. My brother and sister, that's what heaven is about, joy in the Holy Spirit. But you can experience that down here also, my brother and sister, because to Christ, the promise is, hallelujah, that his will that is done in heaven be done in our lives too. On earth, my brother and sister, God has so much to give, but very few people that cry out to receive it, that seek it out to receive it. He wants us to seek it out to receive it, to come, to call on him, to ask him, hallelujah, that they want to receive it from him. If you cry out to the Lord, if you fast and pray and cry out to him that you want it with all your heart, hallelujah, he'll give it to you. He'll set you free, completely free. And you have your enjoy it, praise the Lord. You don't need to be, hallelujah, going through so much, not enjoying any peace and freedom in your life. The Lord can give it to you, my brother and sister. He wants to. He wants to give it to us. He wants us to receive it. And in him, my brother and sister, are all the promise of God ready for him to give it to us. My brother and sister, he is so good. He is so awesome. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Job 2:11, and the Lord shall utter his voice from before his army, for his camp and every great. For he is strong and execute his word. For the day of the Lord is great and very terrible. Who can abide it? That is a good question. Who can abide it? Who can be in that day, my brother and sister? God has a plan. Hallelujah. And his plan through his army, he's going to bring it to pass. Hallelujah. My brother and sister, it's a last day promise. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Joshua 20. But I will remove far off from you the northern army, drive him into the land barren and desolated, where his face to the east sea, head departed toward the uttermost sea. His sting shall come up. His ill savor shall come up, because he has done great things. Hallelujah. My brother and sister, he will defeat all his enemy. This is his plan. He made a promise he would. None of his enemy will stand in the last days when the Lord returned with his army. I saw Brother Miguel coming down with his sword, my brother and sister, and began to fight them and defeat them. And so were my brothers and sisters. Hallelujah. You see, where people discriminate sisters, women in the Lord, they're wrong. They are very wrong. Because in that army that we came down, I saw Sister Rivera, Sister Luna, I saw sisters of the Lord also coming down to fight with the sword on their hand, the same as brothers, with no problem defeating the enemy, my brother and my sister. When God is with us, who can come against us? No one can. No one can. We're coming down in the power of the Lord. And there will be no demon, no principality that can hold us back, my brother and sister, that can withstand the power of God. He's given us total victory. Total victory we're going to have in the Lord when we come down with him. The day and hour are so close. The signs and wonders speak for themselves of the coming of Jesus. Look to, hallelujah, your cloud. See the formation of the cloud. See the wind. Hear the wind. Take some time and record the winds. Get a microphone and record the winds. Hear the sound of the wind. Because the wind is announcing the coming of Jesus. The clouds of heavens are announcing his coming. Listen to the bird. The birds are announcing his coming. Look at the sea. Walk near the sea and look at the sea. Look at the water is moving. Look at the water is rising. Look at the water is coming down over Pakistan and Dallas. Look at the behavior of the water, how it's taking away homes. Homes that have been here, that have been there for 40, 50 years and more are being wiped away by the water. The water is talking about the judgment of the Lord coming upon the land. And it's not just happening in the United States. It's happening everywhere. In Colombia, in Venezuela, in the different part of the world. The water is coming down downtown, my brother and sister. In China the other day, the water came out near the city. A lot of people had to abandon their car, like in Dallas the other day, my brother, this past week. People had to abandon their car in downtown China because the water came so high near the businesses and the local street, my brother and sister. The water came so high, the people had to abandon their business, abandon their car, and run for their lives. My brother and sister, the sea, the rain is telling you of the coming of Jesus. The wind is flowing from south to north, from west to east. We mostly see it east to west. Now, from east to west, hallelujah, there used to be, hallelujah, tornadoes and hurricanes that came down, my brother and sister, from, hallelujah, east to west. Now, the more constant wind coming from the south to the north. Hallelujah. My brother and sister, they're announcing the coming of the Lord. Hallelujah. Thousands upon hundreds of thousands of volcanoes. According to people that are looking down in the bottom of the sea, that are paying attention to this close, they are seeing thousands of volcanoes being awakening at the same time. Around our earth, my brother and sister, all around the earth, not just in certain part of the earth, no, all around the earth, volcanoes in the bottom of the sea are being awakened. I said a few months ago that this will affect our temperature. Look at the heat that we had this summer. Everybody forgot what I said a few months after, in the beginning of this year, a tornado, hallelujah, volcanoes, I'm sorry, awakening in the bottom of the sea, that this will bring heat into our planet. And then came June and July, and we began to experience this year around India, Pakistan, and United States, across the world, UK, and many other countries, began to experience, my brother and sister, so much heat. And France, they experienced heat for over a month permanently, close to 100. My brother and sister, it was 100 every day. Hallelujah. There were places drying up. There was river drying up, my brother and sister. I mentioned this at the beginning of this year, of those volcanoes awakening in the bottom of the sea, my brother and sister, and it's still happening. And it's happening. It's not going away. We're going into winter, and it's still awakening. Something big is coming. Nature is announcing the coming of Jesus. Pay attention to nature, because the Apostle Paul, hallelujah, in Romans, hallelujah, praise the Lord, says, hallelujah, that creation, hallelujah, let me see if I can find a verse, hallelujah, thank you, Lord, for the earnest expectation of creatures waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God. This is creation. Hallelujah. Everything. Hallelujah. For the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly by the reason, hallelujah, of him who are subjected to the same hope. Hallelujah. Because the creature itself, or creation itself, also creatures, also should be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. Our creation, our creatures, creation. This Bible said creature. No, the Bible said creation. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. It's announcing, my brother and sister, announcing the coming back of the sons of God, which is you and I. my brother and sister. Hallelujah. Nature is the word. Hallelujah. So you, hallelujah, praise you, Jesus. It's waiting for the Son of God to return, my brother and sister, for everything. Hallelujah. Because this corrupt nature has a hostile attitude toward God. It refuses to display itself under the authority of God. Stand up because it can. This is the nature of the flesh. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Praise you, Yeshua. Hallelujah. So creature is nature here. My brother and sister is waiting for the coming of the Son of Man. Of the sons of God, I'm sorry. Which is the Son of Man at the same time. It groans for his coming. It's waiting for his coming. It's waiting for us to return. Because God said that the rapture already happened. She knew.
Thank you, Lord.
She saw a bunch of people selected, elected, being changed and being taken away up. And then she saw, and this is after the great movement of God, for the 3 days of darkness, my brother and my sister. Hallelujah. She was told, I believe it's that she was not ready for the rapture, but only for the great tribulation. And because she was a month of mess that she was around in the great tribulation, she thought she was there literally, that it was happening now, and it was too late for her. And that millisecond, whatever time it is, the Lord brought her back, thanking God, because the great tribulation has not started. Because when she was there, she believed it had already started. That's how close it is, my brother and my sister. My brother and sister, it's like in the spirit, there's like millisecond before the great tribulation began. In the spirit, it was she felt, my brother and sister. She said, there's no time. Imagine how quick a millisecond is. There's no time for anything else but to repent. She knew this 100%. And she came back crying back to the Lord, crying like a baby, that she wants to make the rapture because she saw how miserable and how difficult the great tribulation was. She experienced it. And she said, my God, I'm not going to make it through this great tribulation. She said, I'm not going to make it. That's all she kept thinking. It was impossible to make it, how difficult it was for people to be in the great tribulation. So when the Lord gave her this opportunity to bring her back here a few seconds before, she was on her knees crying out to God for mercy, to please help her go home in the rapture, departure, because she understood the great tribulation is too hard for anyone who think that they're ready for the great tribulation, they are wrong. And she thought about these people that talks about preparing for the great tribulation, the worst. She says they're wasting their time. It's a nonsense and foolishness. People should not even be thinking this way. They should be repenting, getting ready to be going home in the rapture. Because she said, my brother and sister, the great tribulation is too hard for anyone to make it through. My brother and sister, it's too hard. It's too difficult. It's too evil. What will be unleashed on this earth? My brother and sister, very soon, very, very soon. Praise you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Matthew 24, 30 to 51 is what I'm going to go in. Hallelujah. And I know there will be things I'm going to share you probably never heard before. The Lord is so awesome. He's so good. Thank you, Jesus. Praise you, Yeshua. He always prepares us for more. Prepare us a life for more. He has so much. It is endless to learn in God. My brother and sister, there are beings that's been billions of years learning, and that's just beginning. The knowledge in God is endless. No one can say, I have learned all. No one can say that. That's impossible. It's endless, my brother and sister. He makes everything new. In making everything new, God can make everything new forever. Forever and ever and ever. He can make everything new, my brother and sister. So learning in God is endless. Praise the Lord. Matthew 24, verse 30 says,
then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven. This very verse here is the second coming of Jesus. This is the second coming of Jesus. I want you to notice something. Why did Jesus begin teaching on the second coming, and then he goes through the rapture departure, and then he goes through the tribulation message? It's to us, it's opposite to how things are learned in school. Because it's like we first say, no, we've got to take this step by step. We start in the first step, according to us human. And this is why the knowledge of God to those that are lost is foolishness, the Bible says. But God puts everything in the right place, my brother and sister. Like Sister Shirley says, it's not that everything is falling away. No, it's that they're falling into place. Shalom, Sister Luna. Because God is in control. And nothing can happen without his saying. And he says so before they happen. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven, second coming. And then all the tribe of the earth will mourn, crying. Hallelujah. They're mourning, they're crying because it's too much to bear. And him coming back, they knew immediately he's stopping all evil. Because the evil happening on the earth during the Great Tribulation is so wicked, it is unimaginable. That's why Jesus said, like it never been before, like it'll never be again, my brother and sister. Hallelujah. All the tribe of the earth will mourn. And they should see the Son of Man in the cloud of heaven with power and great glory. Thank you, Father, for Jesus. Because he's coming back with power and great glory. And every eye will see him. Every eye. Even then they trespass him, kill him on the cross. The Romans, the Jewish, everyone will see them. Praise the Lord. That's the second coming. Verse 31. And he shall send his angel with a great sound of trumpet, and they shall gather his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other. Thank you, Jesus. That's a collection, which also points to the rapture, departure. But this is God sending the angel when Jesus comes and gather the elect. But the elect alive by the time Jesus comes and his second coming are not much, very little, my brother and sister. But God knows how to preserve his loved one, the Bible says. Shalom, Sister Rivero. God knows how to preserve his people, especially for his second coming. Thank you, Lord. He knows how. Hallelujah. As I'm reading this part of Matthew, what came to mind is God's word is the tree of life. Whosoever eat of it shall live forever. And you're going to notice this as I continue, hallelujah, sharing this word tonight. God's word is the tree of life. And whosoever eat of it shall live. If Adam and Eve would have ate out of the tree of life, they would have lived forever. And Jesus Christ is a tree of life. Jesus is the fruit, and he is the word, my brother and my sister, the living word. Thank you, Lord. Verse 32, now, Jesus continue here. Now, every time he says now, every time he says here, okay, it's indicating something special, something unique, something that you and I must pay attention to in the word, my brother and sister, especially like the Lord watch or hear what the Spirit has to say. That's when you put a stop to it. Because now God is getting our attention on what he's about to say. And what he is about to say will directly affect our life to the highest, my brother and sister. So what do you have to say now? We need to pay attention to it. Because it's, Shalom, Brother Miguel, it's very, very important. Very, very important what he has to say now. I'm sure a lot of you have read Matthew 24, but this, you probably have disregarded what Jesus is about to say, because we're going to go into it, and it's going to help you understand, to most of you, something new. Thank you, Lord. Listen to this. Matthew 24:32. Now learn of a parable of the fig tree. Learn of the parable of the fig tree. How many of you have heard the parable of the fig tree? My brother, have understood the parable of the fig tree? My brother and sister, thank you, Lord. We have heard for years that the fig tree of Israel, and it is in part Israel, but it's much more than that, because it's indicated in the last day. How does the fig tree apply in the last days? I'm going to show you. How does it apply? My brother, my sister, this fig tree. Thank you, Lord. Judges 9. If you go with me in your Bible to Judges 9, I want to show you how does this apply, this fig tree, hallelujah, to the last days. Thank you, Jesus. Because Jesus, as he's speaking and teaching his disciples, he points them to the fig tree. My brother and sister, in Judges 9, verse 1, I'm going to begin to read this story. Abimelech, the son of Jerubbaal, went to Shechem unto his mother's brethren and commune with him, with all the family of the house of his mother and father, saying, speak, I pray you, on the ear of all the men in Shechem, which is better for you, either that all the sons of Jerubbaal, which are the 70 persons, reign over you. And one of the reign over you, remember also that I am your bone and your flesh, he says to them. And his mother and brethren spoke of him in the ear, and all the men of Shechem and all these words, and their heart inclined to follow Abimelech. I heard many years ago, over 20 years ago, I would say, that Abimelech represents the flesh. But I want to show you that Abimelech doesn't just represent the flesh. It represents evil. And the third, evil in the last day. Evil men and evil women in high places, wicked one, the fallen one, that are in high position in government in many places today. And they represent evil. But this evil that is in this office, these men and women that are in the office are in this office temporarily. God had a plan in his word that he's going to remove them, my brother and sister. He's going to cut them off, my brother and sister, that he will come with his sword and cut them off, that they will not be in the place they're in today for long. They're not. God had a plan to cut them off, my brother and sister, just like Abimelech. So Abimelech, for they said, he is a brother, and they gave him 70 pieces of silver out of the house of Elorik, which Abimelech hired being a light person, and follow him. And he went into the father's house of Oprah. Hallelujah. And that sounds like the Oprah today. And soon his brother and the sons of Gerard, being 70 persons upon one stone, notwithstanding that Joashan, the youngest son of Gerard, was left, hallelujah, for he hid himself. And all the men of Shechem gathered together in all the house of Armeyu. And they went and made Abimelech king by the plain of Pelor, that was in Shechem. Now they have made Abimelech a king. Notice how he's now placed in the high places, high office, high government. My brother and sister, evil, temporarily, God have allowed it in the high office today, as it was in this time. Verse 7. And when they had told Jonathan, he went and stood on the top of the mountain in Gerizim and lifted up his voice and cried. This is the beginning of repenting and the beginning of seeking the will of God. You want to know what's going on? You're going to humble yourself, cry out to God for mercy and leading and guidance and wisdom. It's the only way, my brother and sister. Look what Jonathan did. He cried out and said unto them, hearken, man, ye of Shechem, that God may hearken unto you. You need to hearken unto the Lord. You need to humble yourself. You need to seek him with all your heart, all your life, everything you have in you. And God then will hearken unto you. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Verse 8. Hallelujah. The tree, listen to this parable, because a fig tree is included here. The tree went forward once to anoint a king over them. And they said unto the olive tree, reign over us. But the olive tree said unto them, try leave my fatness, by which by me they honor God and men, and go to promote over the trees. Hallelujah. And then the tree said to the fig tree, here it is. Remember Jesus said in Matthew 24, the parable of the fig tree? Listen. And the tree said unto the fig tree, come thou and reign over us. But the fig tree said unto them, should I forsake my sweetness and my good fruit and go to promote over the trees? Should I do this thing? Should I do this thing? Hallelujah. The fig tree said unto them, should I forsake my sweetness and my good fruit and go to promote over the tree? The fig tree to the Israelite, since the beginning, when it was full of fruit, it promoted also, it was my brother and sister, a foundations of being fruitful and multiplying, one. One that it provided food, shelter, it shadowed them, protected them from the sun. So when the fig tree was beautiful and the fruit were delicious and sweet, that means prosperity over the children of Israel, over the nation of Israel. So when the fig tree was completely full of fruit, my brother insisted, hallelujah, and the whole land was full of fig tree, full of fruit and beautiful and green, that means that the nation was blessed by God. But when the nation of Israel came down, you know what's the first thing they cut down? The fig tree. You know that before 1948, there was no fig tree in Israel. My brother and sister, for over 40 years before that, they had cut off the fig tree. Before Israel was born as a nation, before 1948, there was no fig tree in Israel, my brother and sister. When there will be fig tree in Israel, it only will be when the nation of Israel will return back to the land and be in the land established as a nation. That in Israel, they will replant fig tree again, my brother and sister. And when the fig tree was full of leaf and full of fruit, it meant that the nation now was under God's protection, was back with God again, my brother and my sister. Hallelujah. The fig tree is so significant. That's why Jesus points the parable of the fig tree to the Jewish people, because they fully understand the meaning of the fig tree standing. You know that when the Jewish people went back to Israel from France and other nations, they carried back with them, so you know how significant it is, fig seed and small fig tree on the animal, on the mule, on the donkey, my brother and sister, on the camel. They carry fig tree with them from France and other nations, from Spain and other nations back to Israel when finally Israel was taken back in 1948. My brother and sister, because there was none, not one standing, not one little one, none. There was no fig tree in Israel before 1948. Because when they were cast out, if we go back to the history, when the Jewish people lost their land, when the enemy came into the land, they cut down all the fig tree and none grew back until they came back in 1948. This is so significant. This is, my brother and sister, this prophecy of the fig tree is so significant because it talks about a nation of Israel being established back into the land, coming under God's blessing and God's protection, and becoming a nation again, my brother and sister. And this nation, this generation that will see that, that will see the fig tree back in the land, established as a nation, will be the last generation that will see the rapture, the departure of the bride of Christ. My brother, my sister, this is so prophetic. And this is so exciting for the Jewish people to know. And this is so exciting for us to study it in our own Bible and to learn this and to know this, to understand the significance, because this alone of the fig tree help us understand how close Jesus is to return, how close the departure of the bride of Christ is, my brother, my sister, because it will be the last generation that will see the fig tree come back to the land of Israel, as Israel is established back as a nation. In 1948 is when this happened. Hallelujah. But Jesus has given us, I know in the Psalm says that men will live up to 70 years. But I'm going to say this to you and to anyone listening. This doesn't apply to the generation that will see the fig tree back in the land. You know why? Because Jesus said in Luke 17 and in Matthew 24, that it will be like in the days of Noah. And in order for us to understand how long it will be, or what will be the time I'm running about, we got to go back to Genesis 6, my brother and sister, because there God said how long man will live. That his spirit, the Lord says in 6:3, that the Lord says, my spirit shall not always strive with men, for he is also flesh. Yet his day shall be 120 years. 120 years. Hallelujah. My brother and sister, it is the time given for Messiah to return and his second coming after 1948. My brother and sister, the fig tree was brought back in 1948. Okay? Jesus said it will be like in the generations of Noah, 120 years. You got it from 1948. You got to go up 120 years unto the second coming of Jesus. Because this is why when I began to read to you Matthew 24, what did I begin to read to you? The second coming. Matthew 24, verse 30, and then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven, and then shall the tribe of the earth will mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the cloud, in the heaven with power and great glory. This is not put in there by coincidence. This is put in there by the plan and wisdom of God Almighty, my brothers and sisters, who is preparing a wedding for his son. He is the one preparing a wedding, Matthew 22, for his son Jesus. This is not put there by coincidence. This is all by the plan of God, my brothers and sisters, for us to help us understand. So let me continue with the parable of the fig tree. But the fig tree said unto them, forsake my sweetness and my good fruit, and go to be promoted over the trees. Hallelujah. There's so much information given there. So much information given there. Hallelujah. Because this is when the fig tree is established. It is and it's fruitful. As the Lord says to Adam and Eve, be fruitful and multiply. This is what the fig tree is. This is where Israel is, being fruitful and multiply. My brother and sister. Hallelujah. Should I forsake my sweetness? It's sweet. Hallelujah. In my good fruit, the fruit is good, fully developed. My brother and sister, to go to promote over the trees. Hallelujah. The tree now be in the world, everyone else. Hallelujah. It is be promoted every single life. But notice that not every single life, my brother and sister, is fruitful and multiply. But it should be. When the word of God comes into their life and they receive it well and they repent and turn their life back to God, God will make them sweet and good. I thank you, Jesus, like the fig tree. Praise you, Lord. Verse 12. Then said the tree unto the vine, come thou and reign over us. And the vine said unto them, should I leave my wine, which sheareth God and man, and go to promote over the trees? This is the gospel being preached unto all the nation. because it begins first, my brother insisted, with the oil, which is the olive tree, which is, it comes the oil, which is a type of the Holy Spirit. Then the word being preached and the word being promoted. So prophetic. This is so prophetic, what I'm reading to you. Praise your Lord. Should I do this? Says the vine. Hallelujah. A type of the fullness of the Holy Spirit. Thank you, Lord. Verse 13. Then say, all the tree unto the branch brambles, come down and reign over us. But the bramble said unto them, if in truth you anoint the king over you, and come put your trust in my shadow, if not, let fire come out of the bramble and devour the cedar of Lebanon. Because if not Messiah reigning, if any king is anointed in his place, this brings the wrath of God. When the Antichrist, the wicked one, is in the place where Messiah only should be, this brings the wrath of God. He gets on his white horse and comes down to reign, my brother and sister. He's not going to stand for it. Not going to stand because that's his place. No one should take his place. Very clear. Verse 16. Now, therefore, if ye have done truly and sincerely, that ye may have made Amivalek king, and ye have dwelt with Jeroboam his house, and has done unto him according to the deserving of his hand. Hallelujah. My brother and sister, and to make this story here long, because I want to move on with the other verses, I'll take you down what happened to Amivalek, my brother and sister, because God said this would happen to him. How God said Amivalek, hallelujah, will die, my brother and sister, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Yeshua. It's down. Hallelujah. Here, verse, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. When Amivalek and Tevez camp against us, verse 50, Tevez took it, but it was a strong tower within the city, and the tiller fled all the men and women and all the house of the city and showed it to them, shouted to them, and went out to the top of the tower. And Amivalek came to the tower and fought against them and went hard unto the door and toward the burning of the fire. And a certain woman cast a piece of millstone upon Amivalek's head and broke his skull. Twice that God done this in the Old Testament. Use a woman to kill the most powerful man that all the army of Israel fear. My brother and sister, God using the meek and what man calls the weak to overcome when he wants to. And in the last day, God is raising woman, powerful in him, anointed in him to overcome so much, my brother and sister. There is a pouring of the Holy Spirit coming. Hallelujah. In the last days. And you already see more women anointing and waiting for it, ready for God to be used by God in the last days of this revival, mightily and powerful. And even when the Bible talks about the millennium, a woman will surpass man, the Bible says. Women in the hand of God are powerful tools. When man says no to God, women says yes, and God will use a woman to surpass the man. Here is all these men fighting Amivalek, and they cannot overcome his army. And God uses a woman, which he said he would, and break the skull of Amivalek, stop this evil and wicked man in the last days. My brother insisted, this certainly will continue to happen. God is about to do so much more in the last days. So much more, my brother insisted, than what people think. When the Lord took me, hallelujah, to the chamber this time in heaven, yesterday morning, after the midnight hour in prayer with the Lord, my brother and my sister, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. I remember beginning praying like around 12 noon. I don't believe it even was 12 noon. Hallelujah. And praise the Lord. When I looked, I finished my prayer. It was over 2 in the morning. Okay. Praise the Lord. I just kept praying and praying as I felt led by the Lord, praying for whoever the Lord had me pray. This prayer is so much needed. We can never pray enough. Some people believe that praying 2, 3 hours, 5 hours is enough. No, they're wrong. The Bible says 24 hours. It's what God says that we should be praying. Because when he said pray without ceasing, it's praying nonstop. That's 24 hours. 7 days a week, 365 days a year. No one can say they pray too much. Jesus will pray all night long. And even when people find him sleeping on the boat, they don't understand. Brother Hector Cruz, who's in heaven, shared that when he finished preaching for several hours, 7 and 8 hours, when he went back to his hotel, being in a different country, being in the U.S., he went to his hotel to pray and rebuke demon and principality that will come to attack him. My brother insisted. And the Lord would have him praying all day long. My brother insisted. The only thing he needed to make sure was that at 12 o'clock in the morning, he needed to get up from praying, take a shower, get dressed again, to take a car to go to another place to preach another city. My brother insisted. But the Lord had him pray all night long. A lot of people don't understand this. A lot of people think we're exaggerating about this. And some of us wish we can pray all night long. It is difficult. It's hard for our body to pray so many hours, my brother insisted. When I pray 3 hours, my body hurts a lot, my bones. My brother insisted, it's hard for the body. God help us. But we should be praying 24 hours. It's what the Bible said, without ceasing. That's exactly what it is, 24 hours. God help us. We're not praying those hours. None of us are. I'm not going to come here and lie to you and tell you I pray 24 hours, because that will be a lie. No. My brother insisted, it's difficult. It's painful. But God help us, my brother and sister. And repenting, seeking the Lord. The Lord had told me days before he will be going to take me to heaven again. I said, Lord, show me something special that I can share with my brothers and sisters. He said, yes, in prayer. I remember a few nights before. And then, praise the Lord. As I go to sleep after 2 o'clock in the morning, boom. It was in the blink of an eye. I was in the chamber of heaven. I immediately recognized the Lord was standing there. Now, I'm going to tell you this. He didn't receive me with a nice smile like I've seen him many times before, like I love to see in Jesus, with a smile on his face waiting for me. Not this time. Not this time. He didn't look happy. In the regard I'm saying, he brought me home to discipline me, to rebuke me. My brother and sister, not going to share the rebuke. Any rebuke from him is well received. Because he is our master, our Lord, and our rabbi, and our God. And when he needs to discipline us, we need to receive it. The Apostle Paul warned the brothers and sisters not to get tired of the discipline of the Lord. As a father who loves his son, he disciplines us. Thank you, sister. It's important that we are disciplined by God. A lot of people, when the moment I mention discipline, they get disconnected. Oh, I don't want to hear that. I'm tired of being disciplined. Don't get tired of being disciplined by God. That God disciplined us to save us, to deliver us from all kinds of wickedness. Because there's all kinds of wickedness happening on this earth, my brother and my sister. So very important. We understand. We don't get tired of his discipline. We ask him to have mercy on us. Lord, have mercy on me, is what we need to say. Not getting tired of his discipline. Because there's so much we don't even know and understand, my brother and my sister. As I'm in there, Jesus says to me, you, and when he say you, he generalized, are not believing, are doubting, and not believing that my rapture, departure, my wedding is about to begin. That you're about to enter, you're about to come in. He says, you are doubting. You are doubting. Hallelujah. And he says, but my word is true. He says, talking about the last generation. That's what he was referring to. My word is truth, he says to me. Hallelujah. I spoken it in my words, he says. In other words, he says to me that we are supposed to see in his word clearly. In Matthew 24, Luke 17, that the rapture, departure of the bride of Christ is about to happen. according to Jesus, who's right, who's sitting at the right in the hand of Father, my brother and sister. We are supposed to see it in his word. But he says, you are doubting. He says, and I'm believing. Hallelujah. My word. And, oh, Lord, mercy. Lord, I didn't want to add or take away. Please forgive me, Lord. If I add anything, if I taken away anything from what you said to me, praise your Lord. And I'm looking. I was in the place, before I continue telling you what Jesus was saying, I was in the place that I seen before, 100 feet away or more, the castle, the place of the wedding chamber, where the bride is about to arrive, and change for the wedding, my brother and my sister. And Jesus went, at the same time, he's dressed for the wedding. That's what I noticed about him. He had his wedding garments on because he's waiting for the bride to arrive in the chamber. Because he said to the prophet Isaiah, enter into thy chamber until the indignation passes. Hallelujah. This is what we are. We're supposed to enter that chamber any moment now. Any moment. We're supposed to. I remember saying this on the Lord's Hour. We are about to. Jesus repeated to me yesterday morning in heaven the same word. You are about to enter, he says. And he rebuked my doubt, our doubts, and not unbelief about it. My brother and sister, this is wrong about us. This is very wrong. I'm going to share with you, hallelujah, that Jesus rebuked his disciple because of their unbelief and doubt. And that to him is never acceptable that we, hallelujah, my brother and sister, hallelujah, doubt his word, his promise. Hallelujah. And not believe what he has said. Every time he rebuked his disciple, my brother and sister, hallelujah, he rebuked their unbelief and their doubt. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Jesus. I'm looking for the verses. Hallelujah. My brother and sister, because the Lord is not acceptable that we are doubting that the bride of Christ is about to departure. It's about to enter, my brother and sister. In Matthew 17, verse 15 to 21, the Bible says that a man that had a son, that had a demon-possessed son, came to Jesus and said, Lord, have mercy on my son, for he is lunatic and sorely vexed. For often he falls into the fire and often to the water. And I brought him to thy disciple, and they could not cure him. Jesus answered and said, all faithless. Here it is. I want you to notice that the Lord don't take doubt and unbelief, my brothers and sisters, lightly. We do. In the church, the pastor, the minister, among the brothers and sisters, we take this lightly. Not Jesus. He never did. When the disciple had this attitude, when they have this mentality, when they have this speaking and this behaving as a Christian, Jesus did not take this lightly. He rebuked them harshly, my brother and sister. And we need to learn that doubt and unbelief is a serious sickness that needs to be cured. And the only cure for doubt and unbelief is faith, my brother and sister. Because without faith, it is impossible to please him. And anyone, him that approaches God, must believe that he is, that he is a rewarder of them that daily seek him. You need to understand that what we take lightly, what we take as a joke sometimes, is not a joke to God. It's not something lightly that we should be playing around. Doubt and unbelief is a serious sickness. It's a serious evil that needs to be avoided, my brother and my sister. My Lord, my God, all faithless and perverse generation. Notice how when people doubt, are full of doubt and unbelief, they ended up being perverse. Perversion is a sign of doubt and unbelief, according to Jesus. According to Jesus, all faithless and perverse generation, how long should I be with you? How long should I be with you? Remember, who is he? Jesus. He is the Word of God. What is the first thing during the great tribulation that they're going to take away? The Word of God. God, my brother and sister, is going to take his word from people in the great tribulation, a form of punishment for not believing the word, for not, my brother and sister, hallelujah, trusting the word as the absolute truth. They're going not to have the Bible in the great tribulation, and their suffering will be much greater, because God can come for us through his word. David said, thy word is my comfort. Hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus. Thou comfort me, my brother and sister. He used the word to comfort her, to minister, to lead him. Thy word is thy light to my feet, he also said, my brother and sister. His word to David, when he was running from King Saul, hiding in cave, hiding everywhere in dark places, David kept reading the word of God, and the word of God was the light, was the comfort, was the minister. The word of God was with David in every cave and in the dark valley. Thou, I go through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, because thou art with me. God was with David through his word, my brother and my sister. And people are taking the word of God lightly, but God's going to take it away from them in the great tribulation. That's why so many times the Lord took me to the great tribulation, and I seen people that had no Bible having Bible study. No Bible. They were trying to remember by memory the word of God, and they were misquoting the word. They'll say a verse, and the rest they could not remember, my brother and sister, because these are people now backsliding, caught up in sport, caught up in gambling, caught up in stock market, caught up in making a lot of money. And when the great tribulation began, and they lose everything because there will be no economy, they're on the floor crying like baby to God. Oh, God, I knew about you. My mom used to take me to church. I remember church service. I remember Sunday service. I remember the pastor quoting the word. And they're trying to remember every word by word. But I was so hard of heart, God, have mercy on me. But the demon doesn't stop persecuting them, tormenting them, punishing them, even killing them, and so much more. It's hell. The good part is that even though the demons are cut in their arms, are cut in their leg, even their neck, they're still alive. That's still the mercy of God. People don't understand. How can God, oh, merciful God, oh, good God, allow demons to be released from the pen, Nephtali, and cut people's hand, cut people's leg, cut people's shoulder, put a sword through the belly? That's the mercy of God, because he's still alive. That is the mercy of Father, who is good. Remember what Jesus said when he was called good? He said, I'm not good, but only one good, my Father who is in heaven. Hallowed be his name. His will be done on earth as it is in heaven. My brother and sister, he is good. You cannot imagine how Father good, how good Father is. Everything that is good and pure, Father is. My brother and sister, he is so good, you cannot imagine how good it is. But no one can come to the Father except through Jesus. Jesus loves so much his Father that in order for you to receive a Father, you must come through Jesus. That's why so many people have so little of him on this earth, full of sin. Because this must be a sincere repenting, a sincere sickness of God with all their heart and all their lives. God doesn't want 10% of you, not even 99% of you, of your heart. God wants 100%, and that's the harder thing. Because you and I can be giving God 99.99% of our heart, and God says, that's not enough, my daughter. That is not enough, my son. I want 100%. But God, how can I give you 100% when you know I love to do this? I love that. I love that other thing. God said, I'm sorry. I must have all your heart, my daughter. I must have all your heart. So, Father, that means I will have to quit this job that it cost me so much in college. Father, look at the PhD I got to get this job. Are you telling me that I have to quit this job to truly give you all my heart? Father will say, yes, my daughter. But Father, my daughter, my son, I'm offering you eternal life with me. Non-ending life. What you're getting, even though you got those PhDs, is a temporary life and then punishment in the lake of fire forever and ever and ever, my daughter, my son. Now, you tell me what you choose. Father, that makes sense, Father. That makes sense. The way you're saying it now, Father, that truly makes sense. Yes, yes. Hallelujah. That's why you got five foolish virgins and five wise virgins. The foolish did not think that all their life needed to be committed. Oh, you know, that oil is the Holy Spirit. That extra oil is when you spend time with God and he fills you more. And he fills you again because you're spending the time and you feel so full of the oil of the Holy Spirit. And you're like, that's not extra oil. If it's not there, oh, my Lord, have mercy on us, oh, Lord. Have mercy on us. Jesus, standing in front of me in that big room of the chamber where the bride is going to come in and get dressed in the dressing room, he gave me a vision. Open the door. I saw a sister in Christ come out there dressed with her white dress. When Jesus opened the door, she was dressed completely, ready for the wedding. I just saw them arise from the earth. This is the revelation of the rapture he's given me. In the throne of God. In the place, not in the throne of God, in the place of the wedding celebration. He's given me a vision of the bride arriving any second in heaven. Any second, not any minute, any second. The bride is about to enter, he says. And he given me a vision. In this vision, I saw the elect, selected bride of Christ. My brother and sister, I didn't tell you I saw a multitude. Elected, selected men and women that are repenting to God with all their heart, that their heart burn every day to be going home. And I saw them enter and to the chamber. They didn't came into heaven to go hug their family, to look for their friend. No. Time is so nothing, so little, that the bride enter in to change their garment, the clothing, to go into the wedding because there's nothing left. The bride needs to enter into the wedding. Jesus is ready, waiting. This made me think that, like in the wedding, when we got married, usually the boyfriend enter, the man is there first, waiting for the woman to come into the church for the wedding, into the place of the wedding. And this is exactly how he's given it to me. Because he's ready. The guests are ready. It's another thing. I knew on the other side, with the bride enter to be married with the Lord, all the guests are already there, my brother and sister. The bride is the only one now that needs to enter. And he's giving me a vision of the bride any second from now in the spirit, any second. Enter, winning, got dressed, and the Lord opened the door to see me, to show me her coming out of the chamber to the wedding. I was stunned how quickly he showed me all this. But he rebuked my doubt and unbelief. Ye are doubting. Hallelujah, that the wedding is about to begin, he says. And he says, because it is in his word, I'm reading it to you tonight, that this is the last generation's last. And he says, my word is true, he says to me, my brother and sister. So you want to know if about to happen? Well, I'm reading it to you. Again, let's go back to Matthew 24. My brother and sister. So he rebuked their unbelief in Matthew 12, in hallelujah, here. Not acceptable. I have more verses, but let me go back here to the wedding. To hallelujah, Matthew 24. Now I learned of the fig tree. Hallelujah. So when the fig tree again is full of fruit, they're sweet. It's beautiful. That's when everything is established by God, my brother and sister. Same for the bride applies now in the spirit. The bride is fully to the image of Christ, to the likeness. I just heard a prophecy, which I'm going to play to you, where the bride is for the celebration. The Lord gave it today to Sister Shirley. The bride, everything is ready. And God is about to bring the great movement of the great revival, my brother and sister. As the Lord showed me these things, and I'm meditating on the meaning of what the Lord was showing me in heaven, as I'm driving back to North Carolina, I had to drive close to the shore as I'm coming from this other state, a different timing zone. And the Lord gave me this experience of this great tsunami coming to North Carolina, my brother and sister. It was, to me, as I'm driving, remember, he's giving me a vision with open eyes of this tsunami. He showed me like the tsunami was coming at the same time that I was driving. So it's like for you to step on your gas and lay headed to the mountain because this is coming. Because remember, he showed me tsunami. Hallelujah. My brother and sister, that is coming. There's a tsunami. It's about to hit the east coast of the United States. God, the Lord has told us this. So I'm meditating. My question was, as I was meditating, Lord, but you said that, my brother, as I'm driving, sometimes he'll speak to me clearly when I'm driving. I'm listening to worship music. My children, my family, and the minivan sleeping. And I'm driving early in the morning, heading north to make it yesterday. And as they're sleeping, my wife is sleeping on my right hand. My kids are sleeping on the back. And I'm driving, my brother and sister, and I'm listening to the worship music. It was very low. But at the same time, I'm meditating on what Jesus showed me. Of course, I'm paying attention to my driving also. But I'm meditating on what the Lord has said in the meaning. And the Lord spoke to me at the very moment. I was like, oh, Lord, you're talking to me, my brother and sister. And it was very clear, his voice there. Thank you, Lord. So I'm meditating, and the Lord speak to me. He said, yes. He's giving me right there the experience of the tsunami. It was so real. I held to the steering wheel with both of my hands, nervous, because it was like through the part of North Carolina I'm driving through, all that will be wiped out by the tsunami. And he's giving me an experience of the tsunami coming into the land, wiping out all that coast of North Carolina, building, houses, land, everything wiped out by the tsunami. And I'm holding to the steering wheel because the experience was so real. It was only for a few seconds, but it was so real, my brother and sister. Because I was thinking, I said, Lord, what about, you said that we will see judgment before. And he said, yes, and then giving me the experience. My brother and sister, God is real, more than you and I. And anything you and I know, he is more real than everything. My brother and sister, and he's in control of everything. Thank you, Lord. So after he's giving me experience, I can feel his presence so strong, so real, that my life will love me, love of the core. So it gives me confidence afterward because he's with me at the same time. But it was like, Lord, then I should not leave my house anymore for anything else. Because if this tsunami is about to happen, leaving from where we are in the mountain, I just heard him say, yes, it's extremely dangerous. And that's what he was saying, yes, too. It's extremely dangerous now, he let me know. For us, where we are now, to leave, like the part of Asheville where I am, he doesn't want me to leave it for now, my brother and sister, because it's extremely dangerous, extremely. He actually given me a vision a few years ago, and please keep us in prayer, this November. My wife is coming from the island. I haven't seen my mom in 2 years, I believe it is, or three. She wants us to come and visit her in New Jersey before she goes back. And I said to my mom, yes. So I've been praying to the Lord that I can go in November. when the children have some days off from school and see her. She'll see the kid, and then we'll come back to North Carolina, my brother and sister. But the Lord given me a vision years ago that I was in New Jersey. The tsunami came in. Listen, so you see there's no coincidence in God. There's no coincidence. He knows the future from the beginning. He talks about it in his word. My brother and sister. My brother and my sister bought a house north part of New Jersey. Years ago, they were living in the southern part. And when the Lord given me the vision, I'm talking to you maybe 8-9 years ago. He showed me that I will be in the northern part of New Jersey, and that house, and the tsunami will come into the land. They just bought this out 2 years ago in that northern part that God showed me 10 years before that they will be when the tsunami would happen. My brother and sister, there's no coincidence in God. There's no coincidence. Everything God knows what's going to happen from here in a million years, in a thousand million years, in a trillion years. He knows exactly what is going to happen. There's no coincidence to him. And he showed me the house that we will be in. The tsunami will come into New Jersey and level New Jersey badly. My brother and sister, it's high up kind of where they're about their house, but even the water will get there. I remember we could not go anywhere. There was water everywhere. All the park closer to the sea of New Jersey was completely destroyed. The tsunami came into New York. My brother and sister, I shared years ago how Pastor John was in Providence, Boston in Providence, and 100-foot wave came into Providence, Boston. And he was standing there. This is for the future God was showing him. And he was rebuking this wave, coming in, destroying buildings and houses and killing everyone on the way. My brother and sister, the only thing I know, that when the tsunami come from Florida, through Florida, I saw like a 1,000-foot wave. My brother and sister, okay? I'm going to share with you. There's no coincidence. No. I had a minister call me an hour ago before this program, 1 hour ago, to tell me that in the island, I believe called Mona, close to Puerto Rico, okay, NASA have put in their special vehicles, many of them, preparing this year, 2022, to knock down a meteor that NASA can see that is about to hit the Earth. They're in the island Mona, close to Puerto Rico. I don't know how they call. I just know it's called the island Mona, close to Puerto Rico. NASA has all the, and Prophet Ephraim, he was telling me, brother, you remember 10 years ago when Prophet Ephraim, the Lord gave him the vision of the meteor hitting close to Puerto Rico? Right now, NASA has all these ships in that island pointing to the cloud with missile on them to knock down this satellite, meteor that is about to hit the Earth. He went and found the information online. They're tracking this stuff. They're following what NASA's saying. My brother, right now, this is like right now, they have all these special ships there, vehicles, and they're getting ready for this year, 2022, which is going to be over very soon, to knock down this meteor that is about to hit the Earth. And they don't want to tell the people not to bring an alarm, for Biden and all of them knows about this. This is why they're bringing this thing with Trump, the raiding of Trump Mansion in Mar-a-Lago, my brother and sister. They're trying to focus people on something else than what's really happening right now. There is a meteor going around our space about to hit the Earth this year. And NASA knows very well about this. And they're getting ready to knock down this meteor. But here's the problem. They don't know how much of it they can destroy. And the rest will hit the Earth, my brother and sister. The rest of this meteor will hit the Earth. And this brother called me to inform me today, this minister, to tell me about this. And I was telling him, he began to explain to me about the fig tree. And I said, brother, this morning when I got up, I came to my computer. I began to pray in my prayer language. As I'm getting ready, looking up the fig tree and the meaning that Jesus said. And I'm getting ready tonight to bring a Bible study about this. I was telling him, and you call me to talk to me about this. What, this is no, there's no coincidence in God. This is no coincidence in God. It's only plan of God, my brother, my sister. Hallelujah. He says, brother Elvie, the rapture, the departure is so close to happen to me on the phone. And I say, I know. I didn't even tell him about this experience that Jesus showed me. I didn't even got to tell him because he had me on the phone for about an hour, giving me so much information. My brother and sister, he's been studying in the Word of God and the signs that God is giving him, the confirmation that God is giving him, that he is about to take his people out of this earth. My brother, so then he shared with me what NASA is getting ready for, the why the Biden's administration and the government is focusing people on the Mar-a-Lago raiding of Trump's mansion. My brother and sister, because they want to hide what's really happening with this meteor hitting the earth this year. My brother and sister, that is circulating about the earth at a very high speed. And NASA and government and our scientists, he was telling me, are so concerned that they're keeping this information low, very low, my brother and sister. Okay? Very low. They don't want this information out because it will create a great panic that they don't want. So they're creating a distraction to distract people on something else that they want to make important that it's not. They know it's not. They have shaking hands that this is not important. They know it's not. But they want to distract people. And everyone who's been around the government for many years knows that this is the way the government works. They have to distract people with something else, make something else important, not to get people scared and nervous for what is about to happen. My brother and sister, NASA see through their telescope this meteor about to hit the earth, and they want to destroy it. But they don't know how successful they can be. They got their machines, the rocket, ready to blow it up in the cloud. My brother and sister. And they want to keep this very quiet, very low, in case it fails. They're very nervous. They got the best scientists and engineers behind it studying this meteor, seeing what will be the best possible scenario to blow it up right now. And this brother is tracking information live, listening to people. There's always information being leaked around, so people will eventually find out one way or another. My brother insisted, and he knows, and people are nervous. He said, the Lord got to be out to take his people out. But here's the thing. I don't think because of this God's going to take us out, because of this meteor, because God said to the prophet Ephraim that a meteor was going to hit close to Puerto Rico. Look what the United States is. And that island close to Puerto Rico, where all these machines and missiles pointing up, ready to blow up this meteor. When God said that there will be a meteor to prophet Ephraim years ago that will hit close to Puerto Rico, but it will create a mighty tsunami. Notice what the Lord showed me yesterday morning driving this way. He gave me the experience of the tsunami hitting the east coast of the United States. And now this brother called me yesterday to give me the information, which is no coincidence. This is no coincidence because he didn't know what the Lord was talking to me about or what the Lord's been showing me. He didn't know, my brother and sister, because he's not able to listen to the Lord's hour because he works too much. So he's not able to listen to the Lord's hour. He don't know what we've been talking about for all these months and years. He doesn't know what we're talking about here. My brother and sister, it's as I'm getting ready to this, and he shared these things that the Lord's been revealing to him in regard to the fig tree and the things to come. I said, I'm getting ready. I'm studying this. I'm in prayer. I was in prayer doing this Bible study. My brother and sister, amen. So let me continue here. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Verse 8, the tree went forward at once to anoint the king. Okay, this is what I read. And you want to verse 11. Verse, thank you, Lord. Zechariah 3, hallelujah. Zechariah 3 says, he showed me Yeshua. Listen to this. Listen to this. So you know that God is in control, but the devil is behind every wicked plan, my brother and sister. And there's a plan of the devil behind all this. Yes, God is in control. Zechariah 3:3. He showed me Joshua the high priest standing before the angel of the Lord, and Satan standing on his right hand to resist him. Resist him. Resist the devil, he will flee from you, the Bible says. And the Lord said unto Satan, the Lord rebuked thee, O Satan, even the Lord who hath chosen Jerusalem to rebuke thee. It is not this branch plung out of the fire. What do we say the fig tree was? The fig tree of Israel, we said. And since 1948, Israel was established as a nation. The fig tree was brought back to the land of Israel, planted again to produce fruit again, my brother and sister. But it doesn't produce a sweet, fullness fruit that it produced unless the people are back under the protection of God and repenting back in the land of Israel. We know that in 1948, that's when they made their cry to God. For a year, for 1947, 46, 44, 45, 44, Israel has been crying, because I'm remembering the history that I heard about, crying to God for mercy that they will be restored back to the island, to the land, I'm sorry, of Israel. And God did so. God fulfilled his promise, as he said through his prophets, my brother and sister. So Jerusalem, he says, now Joshua was clothed with filthy garment and stood before the angel. Notice that, my brother and sister, when we are full of sin, filthy garment is a type of someone being full of sin. My brother and sister, God have mercy on us. The devil goes before God to accuse us when we have sinned in our life. This is why repenting daily is what you and I should be doing. If we make an excuse not to be in daily repenting, and we have sin in our lives, the devil will accuse us, and he will attack us also. People know because they've been attacked severely by the devil because of sin. My brother and sister, this is a fact. This is not a game. This really happens. Hallelujah. And he answered and spoke unto those who stood before him, saying, take away, hallelujah, praise the Lord, take away the filthy garment from him. And unto him he said, behold, I have caused thy iniquity to pass from thee, and I will close thee with, hallelujah, chain raiment. Now, who can do this but only Messiah? This is why the Jewish people keep saying, Messiah, 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 and the teaching. Who can forgive sin but only God? But only who can wipe our sin? Only but the blood of Jesus, the blood of Messiah. The blood of Yeshua is the only blood that can cleanse us, because God said to the people that the blood of animal were not able to cleanse them, because God was pointing to the blood of Jesus. It's only the blood of Jesus that can cleanse us, can wipe away our sin. My brother and sister, there was an old hymn that said, what can wipe away my sin but only but the blood of Jesus? Only the blood of Jesus can cleanse us from our sin when we repent. My brother and sister. So here is Joshua, mighty man of God after Moses, brought in the same height of Moses in God, same anointing, same presence of God, having filthy clothing, still having sin in his life. My brother and sister, to a lot of people, oh, Joshua should be in heaven already. My brother and sister, Joshua was buried back into his parents, hallelujah, parents back where they were supposed to be buried, like his people in the past. But that doesn't mean that his soul was okay. And God presented Joshua not being okay with filthy garments, sin. But God showed that through Messiah, he is forgiven and he is cleansed. And Messiah said, he answered still before him, saying, take away the filthy garment from him. Unto him he said, behold, I have caused thy iniquity to pass from thee, and I will close him with a changed raiment. He changes our clothing. This is why when you repent, you say, Lord, please Please, Lord, when you forgive, Lord, please forgive my sin and my trespass and cleanse my garment. Oh, my bookkeeping record, Lord, in my garment, cleanse of your blood and your holy fire. Every day you got to be doing this, because you notice he has forgiven Joshua, but now his clothes and raiment needs to be changed. To God is important that our clothes and raiment are cleansed as we come before him. My brothers, don't forget this in prayer. Don't forget it. Please don't forget it. It's important to God. It must be important to us. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Praise you, Yeshua. Verse 5. And then I said, let them, hallelujah, set a clean mirror upon his head. So yeah, set a clean mirror upon his head, mirror, and clothe him with garment. And the angel of the Lord stood by. Remember who's the angel of the Lord? Jesus Christ. Every time you read in the Old Testament, an appearance of the angel of the Lord, and a specific angel, which is Messiah, Lord Jesus Christ, he revealed himself as the angel of the Lord in the Old Testament. In this case, see how the angel of the Lord is cleansing Joshua the high priest, cleansed sin, and so my brother and sister. And the angel of the Lord protested unto Joshua, saying, thus saith the Lord of hosts, if thou wilt walk in my ways, if thou wilt keep my ordinance, then thou shalt also judge my house, and shalt also keep my court. And I will give thee a place to walk among those who stand by. This is the blessing when you are in repenting. God brings you, the Lord brings you in position to receive position, title, authority, and power. That's what he says in Revelation, that those that overcome will reign with him for 1,000 years. He puts you in position after you in daily repenting and cleanses you, and then puts you in position of authority and power and reign with him, that we should reign with Christ 1,000 years. The word of God says it's the only way, my brother and sister, this happens. Messiah can do this. God can do this in our life. If you say, well, I don't need to repent so much, then you can miss the departure, and you can miss be put in position to receive the blessing of the Lord. Hallelujah. It's a dangerous thing. Verse 8, hear now, O Joshua, high priest, thou and thy fellow who sit before thee, for there are men wonder at, for behold, I will bring forth my servant, the branch. Hallelujah. In other words, see how I have mercy on you, Joshua. See what I've done with you. I'm also bringing others in the same form. Again, hear you, Joshua, high priest, thou and thy fellow who sit before thee, for they are the men that wandered out. For I, behold, I will bring forth my servant and branch. Okay? Anyone who humbled himself to him, become his servant, he made them the servant, and they also receive the same blessing. My brother and sister. Verse 9. For behold, the stone that I have laid before Joshua, upon one stone shall seven eyes. Behold, I will engraving thereof, saith the Lord of hosts, and I will remove the iniquity of the land in one day. My brother and sister, when the Savior comes to Israel, hallelujah, Romans 11, hallelujah, all Israel shall be saved, the Bible says. Only Messiah can do that. You can study it back and forth, and you can see that only Messiah can bring total restoration, he says, in one day. One day. He can save a nation in a single day if the nation repents. Hallelujah. A lot of people say, well, that's going to take years. You know, God needs to work on them and cleanse them. And no, because you forget something. A nation like the United States, who have heard God's word for so many years, teachers, prophets, pastors, and leaders already in God's kingdom. But they're now because they're in sin. They're not repenting daily. My brother and sister. But if they repent in one day, God can restore the entire nation. My brother and sister. The entire nation. Any nation, God can do it in a single day. Okay? For the Lord of hosts, I will remove the iniquity of the land in one day. My brother and sister. That's why repenting and calling up to God is what we need to be doing every day. Because you don't know, you and I don't know the day when the Lord can take a nation and change it completely in one single day. And from there on forward, that nation has completely changed. People, how did that happen? You are, because you don't know the power of God. You don't know what God is able to. God say what he means. God speak what he does. And what God speaks, he brings it to pass in that single day. An entire land. An iniquity of the land in one day. But God, this 320 plus million in America, you can do that in one day. And God looks at you, yes, in one day. There's nothing impossible to the Lord, my brothers and sisters. Any land, any country.